The new season of NBC's hit show Good Girls is generating serious buzz. Christina Hendricks, the unforgettable Retta, and Mae Whitman have never been more hilarious as America's favorite moms turned criminals. Love to see it. Seriously, if you've missed it, get online and stream it immediately. Critics call Good Girls audacious and addictive, and Rotten Tomatoes rates it 100% fresh. Don't miss Good Girls, Sundays on NBC, and stream anytime.
Welcome to the frat.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin Ross, and this is the news that you can use. Fresh off of multiple Grammy Award wins, artist Lizzo showed up to today's Brit Awards in a Hershey's Kiss gown. And unfortunately, it was not the one with almonds. Hey, truth hurts.
Oh my God.
Two, frequently jailed nutrition facts label resistant rapper Lil Boosie recently went on a transphobic rant about Dwayne Wade's child Zaya. Ironically, the spit spraying verbiage took place inside of Boosie's local Planet Fitness gym, with the words "judgment free zone" literally right behind him. But we doubt he could read them anyway.
Oh.
And finally,
I can't.
DJ Drama was involved in a public altercation with both of his girlfriends and streamed live for all to see on Instagram, of course. And in a not-so-shocking conclusion, media outlets are reporting that both women knew better because the nigga's name is Drama. With that being said, I want to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? Hey, friend.
Hi, Dustin.
How's it going?
I am, wow, coughing. I'm good.
About to say what's going on with you.
Wow, ready for the show. I'm excited. So before we get started, the Sony live show.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thank you to everybody that came out
on
Thursday.
How much fun was that?
It was beautiful. Everybody looked good. It was so fun. Shout out to Jaden XD and their partners for coming out and showing up.
And Tatiana King.
Tatiana for hosting. Queen of Space for spinning. What an amazing night.
Hostess with the mostest. Such a great night. So much support in the audience for all of us. Your
mom was
there.
That's always, like, shocking.
So many of our friends were there.
Yes, your mom was there.
My mommy came. She's
it was
so
beautiful
cute.
To see. And also, it was a risky show for us because it was a totally different format, totally different vibe.
Thursday night, which
Thursday
is a work night.
Night.
It was pouring rain all day. So
much earlier in the year than
anxious.
We normally perform,
yeah.
Right? So just for it to be such a successful show, we're really, really grateful for that. So thank you to everyone who showed up. And to our incredible tour production team.
Yes.
And to the event staff at Sony Hall, too, because they were amazing.
And that
night.
Venue, I can't get over how beautiful. I didn't even realize how gorgeous it was until I looked back at the pictures.
Shout out to Freako.
Shout out to
Freako
and Shatik for
absolutely.
Sending us the images. And I was looking back like, I didn't even realize the lighting behind us.
Yeah,
that was gorgeous. They said you looked like Khaleesi, girl.
I used to,
okay.
It was kind of crazy out my seat.
Okay.
It was like aligned with this throne. I was like, wow.
I don't mind being on the shoulder, okay? I know which shoulder I was. It was great, though. So thank you to everybody who bought a ticket and came. That was just incredible to see.
Yes. Shout out to you, New York City. Thank you for showing love.
Such a great, great show. And we'll definitely let you know what's, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the horizon for the other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, we have a Black Business of the Week. Asante, do you want to read off who it is?
Yes, yes. I want to give a special shout out to Latasha, who has been a long-term friend and supporter of the show.
Latasha!
Yes, Latasha's my homegirl.
Mine was butt cheeks.
Bunches.
Oh my gosh. Latasha's my homegirl. Shout out to her. Some of you may have seen her on The Grapevine TV, and she also has her own channel on YouTube, Aurora TV, where she does a show with Jameer Pond, and it's called... oh my gosh, I can't believe
We Chug.
We shall over chug. Ooh, I was over chugging there trying to remember that. I've been on there a couple of times. I was on there with Dustin once, I believe.
Yes,
yes.
We got it lit real quick.
Yes, yes, that was a good time.
They didn't have any kombucha for me, so I couldn't go.
Yeah.
But shout out to Latasha. She's been a creative mind working very, very hard as of late. And right now she is producing and starring her very own sketch comedy series called Interactions.
So dope.
Yes, yes. It is very, very dope.
And almost 50% funded in 3 days.
We Incredible.
Must add add that because that's a major feat.
Yes, at the moment she is raising money for with a seed in Spark, and basically she's trying to get this money to all the creatives and have it all funded. And like they said, she's already raised over 50%, and we really just want to get the word out. So I want you all to go to her Twitter page. That is just Latasha 404. That's JustLatasha, the number 4, the number 0, and the number 4. And then it'll have links to her seed and Spark up there, and you'll be able to look at all the details. You'll get to see the cool images. You'll get to see where they've raised almost half of the money. So there's 28 days left, and well, hopefully by the time you listen to this, it'll be more than half any damn way. But you've got 28 days, 27, however many days left you got. Go, just give them like $5, $10, $20, whatever you got.
What is the actual deadline? What is the stop date?
It doesn't show the date. It gives me the 28 days. So, okay, okay. You know, 28 so, you know, days. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Sometime in March.
It's a numbers episode.
Yeah. So, you know, on the...
And I like the perks.
Yeah, and on this page, she actually shows the story. So she shows inspirations for the shows. So there you'll see Wanda Sykes, Mad TV, Chappelle Show, Key and Peele, Amy Schumer, Saturday Night Live. And then she also shows No Singular Universe. Latasha tries to date. Latasha spices things up. Latasha gets a wing woman. Latasha's LGBTQ, and Latasha and girlfriends. So they're just like little side topics that she'll talk about and explore. Things that she's done in some of her past series, like Sit Black and Relax, which is a series that is available on Amazon Prime. Short shameless plug. I'm not even involved in that one, but I hosted one of her things for it. So shout out to Latasha. Again, go to her Twitter. It's just Latasha 404 and support and retweet.
And what were those perks again?
There were a lot of different perks. You could get executive producer credits, wow. Show production, a playlist that she sends you herself,
and
a one-on-one consultation, or maybe if you want her to read your script and give you feedback since she's written so many, even just helping you get started, like how do you write a script if you want to be on TV? I mean, a lot of really amazing perks that are more community-based than anything.
Love it.
Yeah, she has incentives starting from $10, and from $10 you can get access to her Boozy Brunch Sunday. It's a private live stream if you can't actually make it out to the event. For $15, there's the thank you charged up, and you get an IG shout-out in addition to that private link.
And who don't want to be shouted out on IG?
Especially on Latasha's IG, because she'd be in all of the places. You know, she was at our show on Thursday. Shout out to her for that.
And Destin, aren't you going to be?
I am going.
They were very cute. You know, I was like, so you done with them? You can't wear them again, okay. You know?
Oh, Lord. We didn't see the shot.
But Destin is going to be part of the sketch
series.
I'm so excited
when she reached out to... invite me to participate in this. Of course I said yes, because she's fucking hilarious.
Yes. Yes.
And why not
you
make some
and Mandy B.
Yep. So
shout
you know
out
we're gonna
Mandy.
Get it lit
oh
real
my
quick.
God, I can't even
shout
deal
out to
with
my
the
girl
two of y'all.
Pumps.
Yes. Shout out to Mandy.
So shout out to Latasha. We just had to shout you out because this is super exciting. I think you are absolutely what's missing from the sketch space, and we're very excited to see this product fully funded very soon.
Yes.
Put that out there, set that intention.
Overflow.
So with that being said, are you ready to jump into this week's recap segment?
I sure am.
Yeah.
Asante Smith, you took over last week's episode titled Reasonably Straight.
Y'all came up with that. That title ended up happening throughout the episode.
I don't know who takes the credit for that, but it was very good.
Yes, last week we got to talk about self-driving cars, why it hasn't been a thing, cases that have been happening, and, you know, not even just self-driving cars for people, but delivery services, anything under those umbrellas. Shout out to you all for tagging in the Roy Woods Jr. tweet. Everybody kept tagging me in that. Did they keep tagging the personal one in that?
They definitely
they
kept
did.
Tagging me.
They still tagged.
And I ain't gonna say it, but I said it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I'm just saying. So, yes, you all had a lot to say about last week's episode. So, Fran.
Junior. Okay.
What did you find in those SoundCloud streets?
So, actually, I'm going to do another shout out because people really enjoyed the wellness segment last week with asking about the different podcasts under the different genres.
What, somebody stole that too?
No.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Boom, boom. So, no. I forgot to mention Food Heaven Made Easy.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Our family, under the Dear Media Network.
Shout out to Wendy and Jess.
Hosted and produced by registered dietitians Wendy Lopez and Jessica Jones. They talk to different experts about how we can live healthier, more balanced lives, without restrictive diets or quick fixes. We don't play none of that here. So if you're looking for a sustainable and inclusive path to wellness, join Wendy and Jess every Wednesday to learn how to take care of yourself from the inside out. And I love the Dear Media Network because their podcasts are only for women. Not for women, but created by women, which I think is really empowering and awesome to have a network that's pushing forward our conversations and agendas. So those are our sisters. We had them on our show. That episode was incredible. What was the title?
Complete Your Plate.
Complete Your Plate, which Asante came up with.
Yeah. Still want to see that as a game.
I was just going to say, we're still waiting on that.
Maybe if they ever get a show, I want that to be a little segment. I could just pop in every now and then and play.
That'd be so cute. I see you like turning the wheel.
Right? You see.
So I just had to put that out there because I think that was one genre that we didn't touch, which is like healthy living and diet. Hello, wellness.
And it's so dope. And plus, them are girls.
Right?
Period.
That's it. Enough said. Right. So that was more than me picking a comment. I just wanted to throw out another podcast that I think people should add to their rotation.
Y'all see how thorough she is?
You know, I try. What about you, Asante? What'd you find?
Well, I want to give a shout out to Sierra, but not spelled like, you know, Sierra, in the emails. And don't forget to email us like you do every week at thefriendzoneandloudspeakersnetwork.com. The subject is no to self-driving cars.
Wow, just straight up.
Hey, y'all, to piggyback off of last week's episode, I agree with Dustin 100%. I'm not pro self-driving cars at all. I'm 26 and younger than you all, so I'm not sure if you remember the movie Smart House that came on Disney Channel. Never mind. It was about a boy who tried to stop his dad from dating by building a computerized mother who was played by Katie Sagal. Do you know who that is?
I definitely know who Katie Sagal is.
Yeah.
Married with Children.
Yeah, the mom.
I remember this
and the
movie.
Show about the motorcycle
Peggy
niggas.
Bundy.
Yes. Yes.
And the show about the motorcycle niggas.
Anarchy?
There you go.
I would say The Arsonist.
She
was like the gangster mom.
Oh, for real? Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed out. I gotta go back on that.
And she still had that hair from Married with Children.
she was running it like
and the leggings.
Boofot. Okay.
Let me find out Boss Bundy in this bitch.
Okay.
I'm
dead.
The computerized personality eventually morphed into a jealous, overbearing, and malfunctioning mom. And as a child, that set the tone for my disdain for super techie items. Now to fast forward to the film iRobot and the conspiracy within that movie regarding robots. Remember, I kept talking about iRobot because of the self-driving car and that shit got hacked in that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I know these are just movies, but as you can see, we are getting closer and closer to a world that's fully run by robots, machines, and so forth. I'm all for innovation and high intelligence, but self-driving cars seems a little excessive and unsafe to me. Just like people can hack computers, ring alarms, and other things, I truly believe they can do the same with these. Plus, I just feel more comfortable driving myself around and having my life in my own hands. No thank you. I'll gladly drive my Nissan to and fro as my grandpa says. So shout out to Sierra.
I will say, I saw an article. Mm-hmm. Actually, I wish I remembered where it was because it was in passing. But it was saying how one rebuttal to that is that those who are not able-bodied would be able to have more employment opportunities if they can work remotely as cab drivers, waiters, wherever robots are going to be taking place of, you know, customer service opportunities, they can work from home and make money. So that's something that I was like, I never thought of that. And
me
I think
either,
that that's
awesome.
And
I'm for awesome. That. I'm all for those opportunities being created.
I think the article was based out of Japan.
Like, I ain't trying to get hit. But I'm for the opportunities being created, just to be clear. Let's be the fuck clear.
We can hold both thoughts at the same time.
But I want you to get the job.
I saw you laughing at the tweet where they were saying the car was not able to dodge people. I'm so what? Dustin was on
all
Twitter
I see,
cracking.
This car was, I'm talking about all the teeth in the front of the car mouth was gone. I said, that car done tore this sidewalk up. I told y'all that. Driver's seat just empty, smoking.
And speaking of Twitter, Dustin, on Twitter streets?
Couple things this week. This is going to take me a minute to read, but it's worth it. So maybe this will be my only tweet, even though I got so many good things for y'all. Mm-hmm. This one is from at Hello Kennedy. That's KENNEDI. She said, this lady on Facebook said her coworker had to have a conference with her son's teacher because of a note he wrote. Then she said, y'all, please read the note. And there's a picture attached.
Oh, no.
I told you, me.
Oh,
there's
Lord.
A picture attached. And here's the note, y'all. Y'all ready for this? That's why I don't want no kids. Listen, the note says, Dear Miss Jones, I am angry of you because you took 25 of my hummingbird bucks. All because I was talking to Connor. That's no big deal. I'm only 6. I can't be quiet, Q-Y-E-T, all the time. And that makes you a thief and crook. And crook. D, you are going to hell, real hell, the burning one, number one, because you a thief. I worked hard for those bucks, and my only prayer in chapel today, chapel is C-H-A-P-L-E, was that God, lowercase g, gets you to hell fast, super fast, and your new haircut is bad, real bad. Oh. Isaiah. Oh. And he cited Isaiah. That's the note.
The part that got me was like, I'm only 6.
Okay. And read her.
And down to the floor, and then ended up adding, and your hair fucked up.
Okay.
I love it. So shout out to
Imagine
Isaiah.
Imagine the teacher showing you that your kid wrote that. I don't even know what
But
I was
to me,
saying.
The teacher whack, because like, why you got to have a conference for that? You know why he was mad. He deserved his damn money back, all because he was talking to Connor. Why you ain't take Connor's money? Sound like, y'all know what it sound like.
Are you happy that Ellen gave
Taylor her justice?
Perfect yes. dependence.
Oh my God, I feel vindicated, and ain't nobody took a damn thing from me. But I felt like justice was served, so shout out to Ellen and Taylor. There's one other tweet I just want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a video from the Twitter account Back to Nature, and it's B-A-C-T, the number 0 in nature. And it said, here we have two types of dogs, and it's a video from a dog
saw that.
Like a dog, probably someone who's dog sitting or whatever, multiple dogs.
And none of the black
one group of the dogs, so they have a water hose out, and one group of the dogs is just jumping at the hose, and every chance they get to get wet, they're getting wet. And there's another group of dogs on the other side of the yard that refuses to get wet and play in that water and all that. And I'm not going to tell you what's different about the other set of dogs, but that's what's different
it's
about
it. It's the way the camera panned in this mad series.
All them
in the
damn dogs, the black dogs just standing over there like, literally. So thought that was hilarious.
That was very funny. I saw that too. So are you ready to jump into this week's episode?
Yes, please.
Been waiting for it.
We have a very, very, very special guest, friend to the show, one of our highest rated, most listened to episodes of all time, which was Making Money Moves featuring
Cardi B.
Mm-hmm. The Budgetista.
Woo!
Yes.
Woo! That's right.
Tiffany, we are so happy to have you back.
I'm excited to be back.
Oh, yeah. We
it's
love
been too
you.
Long.
I just can't wait to drop these jewels.
We are ready for them.
I bet you that's real. She got the money.
Now, I put out some prompts on our Friend Zone Twitter, on our Friend Zone Facebook, on my own Insta stories. And I kid you not, people love you so much.
Aww. They do.
They were so thankful. They were like, thank you guys so much for bringing her back on the show. We really need this information for the community. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, I had, when I tallied all of them, at least 400 to 500 questions. Mind you, this was just 24 hours ago that I asked.
That's
so
awesome.
That's pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I tried to consolidate them as much, but I also want to make sure to leave room for whatever you want to share, because I'm like, we did an episode with you last time that was like 3 hours
right. Money long, conversation long.
And I'm sure since then, because that had to be, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
A lot. You've learned a lot from then. I'm sure that you want to bless the community with. So I want to definitely leave space for that. So I'm like, where do we even start? Where should we start?
You tell me what category were most of the questions in, like what vein? Like budget, credit, debt.
I mean, how about this?
Okay.
Before we get into their questions, let me make sure that your questions are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had a lot of questions. It's going to take up the whole episode.
Well, let's get to the people's questions, because, you know, we have to talk off of here. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We got a few things to talk about. So I want to make sure we get the people's questions out the way.
Okay. Dustin, anything you want to get out your get off your chest?
I'm trying to think what I can ask without telling too much of my business. Because I do have questions. But you feel me? But they're all, I mean, full transparency. But they're all personally related to my financial matters.
Yeah.
I guess the question that I could ask for everyone to that everyone would be able to benefit benefit from, rather, is once you begin to work for yourself and you become fully self-employed, right? This is really easy and simple.
Mm-hmm.
How much of each paycheck should I be putting aside for my taxes?
Okay, so this is a really great question. The caveat is I am not your personal financial advisor, and AKA don't try to sue me. This is just girlfriend to girlfriend, girlfriend to boyfriend talk. So you are probably looking at anywhere between 25% and 35%. You're going to want to talk to obviously your accountant. So when I first started out, I was 25% was enough, and now I'm closer to 35%.
Same.
So somewhere in that range. So if you work for yourself, this is what it looks like. You get your, let's just say you make $1,000, right? So you're probably going to put $300 of that $1,000. You should put it into an online-only savings account. I like Ally Bank, but any of the banks. Like, if you go to this website called Magnify Money, they list all of the banks, and you're going to look for a bank that is FDIC insured. That means you will get back up to $250,000 of your money should that bank go under. So insurance. You're going to look for a bank with an A rating. Because Magnify Money will rate the banks for you.
Like the cleanliness.
Right? So if you wouldn't eat there, don't you rate there.
There's chicken crumbs all over the floor behind the tellers. I don't know what the hell.
And you're also going to look for a bank that that gives you the most interest rate, but has the lowest required deposit.
Okay.
You know, because there's some banks that are like, oh, we're going to get you this dope interest rate, but you got to deposit $10,000.
And keep it there,
too. And keep it there.
Which is
so
crazy.
If you look for those things, so then I would put my money there. And you really, really, really want to pay your taxes quarterly. You know, because if not, you actually get penalized for waiting. And so that means every 3 months, so April is around the corner. So January, February, March, April, you should be paying your taxes. And then April, May, June, July, you should be paying taxes again. So you're going to want to, you should have an accountant that you're meeting with every quarter to kind of go over your numbers. And then they
send
usually.
Send an estimate, right?
So you send an estimate. And then by the end of the year, hopefully you've paid enough not to owe. But if you don't do, you won't owe a year's worth of taxes.
Yes, talk about that.
And I've been there before. So like, yeah, it's not easy. Like even now, like we made some tax mistakes in 2019. I thought I was setting aside enough. I was about $150,000 short that I'm making up for. So being an entrepreneur is not easy
at all,
you know, but it's one of the best ways to grow wealth, because if you have a regular W-2 job, you get your paycheck and they take your money before you get it. Right? So meaning like the government takes their taxes, you got the FICA, the LICA, whoever the hell these people are, they getting their money. But if you work for yourself, you get your full check. And then you get to tell the government how much of that is taxable, because what's taxable is what's left over after you spend money to make money. So let's just say I get $1,000 and I'm like, hold up, this phone was $500. So the government says, well, you didn't make $1,000. You made $1,000 minus $500 because you used this for your business.
To get more work.
So it's not 30% of $1,000. It's 30% of $500. You're like, well, hold up, this water bottle was $100. I was like, well, now you made $400 because now you spent $600. Well, hold up. This mic was $400. Well, now you made zero. This is how the truly, really wealthy
stay that way.
Yeah, because they're not paid. Literally, it's the middle class that pays more taxes than anyone else, because the poor don't make enough money to pay taxes and the wealthy hide their money. So it's really the middle class that's carrying the burden. So if you want to go up to the other side, then
Figure out how to hide your money. No, I'm just playing.
But having a business will help, because you can even have a regular job and a business. Having a business will significantly help, because you can write off a lot of your expenses.
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome. You know what I'm saying? I got you.
I knew who to ask. You got the damn money.
No, and the biggest tip that I pulled from last episode with you was based on the taxes, which is right after that episode, I went to my bank and I opened the checking account that's just for my taxes. And then
the savings account.
Savings account is just for my taxes. And so every check I get, whether it's a little teeny one or a massive, I take out 30%, go straight into that account, and I don't even look at it. It's not mine. It's almost like I didn't make it. And then everything else is split between my savings and obviously, you know, expenses, and then a little bit of shopping and play for money.
Just a little bit. You know.
Whatever's left.
But I tell myself this because I have like a little spreadsheet. So when I first started seeing in my spreadsheet 30% goes to taxes, I was like, well, damn, if I can give Uncle Sam 30%, I could damn sure give Tiffany 30%.
That's right.
Right? So literally, I set aside that for myself as well when I'm able.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you live an entrepreneur life or you have an irregular income, you have to live by percentages. So the way to manage your money properly is are numbers. So when I was preschool teacher, Tiffany, my numbers were exact. I'm making $2,000 a month, mm-hmm. $500 for this, $200 for this, $400 for this. So right. those are my numbers, mm-hmm. right?
Because it's the same thing every month.
Yep. But when you're an entrepreneur, you don't have those exact numbers. Right. So you have to adhere to the percentage numbers, 30% for here, 20% for here, mm-hmm. 10%. So you still have to live by those numbers if you want to be like smart with your money as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so like, even if it comes to like spending for yourself, but set it aside as a percentage and you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's honestly what has helped me. Like my finances have been super clear good. This past, I'd say 2 years. And a lot of it was based on the information
that's
that you shared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, okay.
okay.
Jewels were bestowed.
Will work.
Now my question has to do with this looming recession.
Okay.
That everyone keeps talking about, even mm-hmm. though they've been talking yes. about it. It's like, so when is it happening? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But do you have any advice on how to take care of yourself, especially mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur, if there is a recession that's
you
coming?
You know I got advice. Because shit, I'm living it. Right? right? So here's the key when it comes to preparing for any, let's just say any sort of financial trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So the recession is financially traumatic. And so you have to have some money on hand. You don't want to be cash poor. There are people who are worth millions, but all their things are tied up in homes or investments in some sort of way, which is nothing wrong with having those things. Obviously, those things are great. But what happens when all of your money is in houses and then the house, you have $1 million worth of houses and now those $1 million worth of houses are now worth $200,000 because the recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have some cash on hand. Because here's the thing. During the recession, everything goes on sale. So a house, like when I bought my condo when I was 25, right before the recession, I bought it for $220,000. I had a mortgage and then the recession hit and it went down to a worth of $150,000. My house was on sale.
Damn.
Oh
so
my
I
God.
Lost it and someone picked up my $220,000 house for $150,000.
Wow.
Now the house I live in now, someone lost it to foreclosure. And so I got this house, a $380,000 house. I got it for $180,000.
Oh, my Ooh. God.
So you see? Mm. So it came back around, and mm-hmm. I was able to get this house. And now that the house is back worth $380,000 again. So I spent $180,000 for a $380,000 house. So the key to prepare for a recession is, one, to be living below your means,
mm.
right? Two, to always have some cash on hand so you can make those kind of moves. Because taxes get cheaper. Everything goes on sale. So you want to be able to say, what? This stock is down. I know it's a good stock. It's just a recession. Let me load up. Because like when I remember this, it didn't happen during the recession, but when Tesla first came out, stock was $30 a share. And my sister, who's an engineer, was like excited about these cars that can XYZ. I was like, girl, Tesla, what is that? Meanwhile,
okay.
she bought 1,000 shares. And then sold them when they were like 300.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. My God.
And I was like, damn, why didn't you tell me? She's like, I did tell you.
I did.
Read your text. I was like,
whole
she did tell
whole family got the money. Okay.
And I was like, damn. So, but that's what happens during a recession. So living below your means, making sure that you have cash on hand. And honestly, just the key really is moderation. I don't yes. believe in over-sacrifice. So I want you to enjoy yourself, go on vacation,
right.
but not at the detriment to your financial future. You know, so if you are automating your investments and also, too, not freaking out and pulling investments out, because there is something called what they call like actual loss. So let's just say you buy something for $100 and it goes down to be worth $50. It's not a real loss until you cash it in and mm-hmm. pull out your $50, even right. though you put in $100. So it's not an actual loss. If you wait, then that thing could go back up to $100 and that loss is no longer a loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. I learned that lesson with cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. which
yeah,
I know is still volatile. But.
Yes, but I pulled my money. I was like, ooh, I'm scared. And then, of course, the next week it goes back up. And then yeah. I was like, oh, damn it.
That yeah. was the yeah. biggest mm-hmm. lesson for me because that was my first time yeah. like investing in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, everyone was talking about it. Bitcoin was $20,000.
You was doing good, friend.
You know, mm-hmm. and I had it, and then all of a sudden it dropped yeah. to like I think $6,000 mm-hmm. from $20,000. Mm-hmm. I was sick, but everyone around me that's in that world was like, just chill
just
out.
Yep.
Don't even think about it.
Yep.
Don't let, you know, the news and the fear-mongering
yes.
make you feel like you have to pull it out because mm-hmm. then that's where you lose, like you
yes.
said. And I didn't. And now it's back up. Now
yes.
it's at like $11,000 mm-hmm. and it's going back up. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, good.
It you have to no ride actual loss.
Yeah. Okay, you know what I mean?
So that was a major, major, major lesson. But I love that you brought up about enjoying yourself.
Yes.
So here's a tweet that I thought was hilarious. I was like, I have to read this to Tiffany.
Okay.
So someone says, I've seen a lot of tweets about people who are refusing to pay their debt in order to continue to travel and enjoy their money. Mm-hmm. Any tips on those of us who are tempted to join Team Fuck Them Bills?
Here's the thing about bills. Them bitches come bite to bite you. They're, like, they're gonna come back to bite you.
Right.
So, here's the thing. I don't think that you have to be completely debt free to go on vacation. I think that's bullshit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You should enjoy, but you should be doing it at the same damn time.
There you
right.
Go.
So, because if you don't take care of your responsibilities, you're just elongating you feeling uncomfortable. Because let's be real about those people who are traveling. And mm-hmm. I know people like that. My little sister. I know people like that who are traveling, and yet, you know, they're like, oh, these bills, I'll worry about them later. But here's the thing, that you really are not sleeping well at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really, truly, it's not, you think that they're living it up. They're not. They're on mm-hmm. vacation like,
oh, my gosh, when I get back.
With that elephant on their chest.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so like, you don't really get to truly enjoy yourself. So what's best is if you have a debt pay down plan in place. I personally like the snowball method. Google it.
Someone actually asked that. They said,
okay.
Ask Tiffany if I should do the snowball versus the envelope method.
I was like, okay.
What the hell are we talking about?
That's the grandma
So she probably means the avalanche method. That's what I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
Because those are the two that you complete, that usually compare.
Okay, she said mm-hmm. envelope. Maybe she got them mixed
up. So, like,
she need the help for real.
No, the envelope method, because envelope method is a budgeting method. It's mm-hmm. like the old school grandma method.
Grandma method.
So you take your money and you put your envelope in your, you know, my rent envelope, my gas and electric envelope.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so like.
And put it in the Bible next to the envelope with the bills and the receipts.
Right? But with the snowball versus avalanche, the way snowball works is that you pay off the debt with the smallest balance first, because that's the debt that you're going to feel that you're going to be able to succeed at first.
Right.
And so it's almost like the difference between losing, like, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out really hard, or I'm going to walk around the block, because it's like you're having
small wins. Mm-hmm.
A small win. Mm-hmm. So you pay off the debt with the smallest balance first while you're paying off every other debt. You are just paying the minimum. So that debt gets all the rest of the debt, because usually we'll do this with our debt. A minimum plus a little. A minimum plus a little. Don't do that. That plus a little, combine them and give it to the smallest debt.
Mm.
Then pay that debt off. And when you pay that debt off, you are going to take that full payment. It's minimum plus all those littles that you gathered up, and you're going to pay it to the second lowest debt that you're paying off. So now the second lowest debt is getting like three payments in one. The first debt's minimum, it's minimum, plus that extra money that you found from your budget. So the reason why they call it the snowball method is, think about like, I guess Bugs Bunny, where the snowball starts at the top, top of the hill,
and it gets bigger and bigger.
So same thing with you're collecting minimums along the way. So when you're paying the third lowest debt off, you're giving it the first lowest debt's minimum, the second lowest debt's minimum, its minimum, plus that extra money from your budget. So as you get to bigger and bigger amounts that you owe, you have more and more money to throw at it without going back to the budget for extra money, because you're collecting the minimums, you know? So I prefer that method.
That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I paid off my debt in 2015. Amen.
Yeah.
And I started with the smallest credit card. Mm-hmm. And once I paid that off, it was like positive reinforcement.
Yes.
I was like, oh, shit, this is possible.
This.
Yeah.
And so with the other way, you're really focusing on the debt with the largest interest rate first.
Mm.
Because that's the debt that's the most expensive debt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the problem with the debt with the largest interest rate, what if that's your student loan at $50,000?
Right.
You're going to be out of forever. When are you going to feel that good feeling?
Right.
You know, you're not going to. So there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. It's just that it takes a long time to feel good. So
right.
For most people, I prefer the snowball method for paying off your debt. It's slow and steady. So if you have that set up, and then you're like, I can still go on vacation because I am paying off this debt. Because also, too, I want us to get away. Black people, get close.
Yes.
Come on.
Right? Yes.
I want us to get away from focusing solely on getting debt free. Like Prudential has a study called like the Black Experience Study, something to that effect. And they found that the number one goal for black folks financially is to get debt free. And the number one goal for the rest of the country, everyone else, is to grow wealth. We are on the wrong side of that.
Damn.
Somewhere along the way, we have confused debt freedom with wealth.
Mm.
Right? You know who else is debt free? My niece, she's 2 years old.
How about that?
Right? Amelia's still broke, though.
How about that?
Because debt-free does not equal wealth.
Right.
Here's what happened. So I learned a lesson. I would say I probably learned this lesson. It was like 3 years ago, and I had a light bulb moment. I had all this credit card debt. because some scam that one of my quote-unquote friends put me through. But he in jail now, so you can't hear me anyway because you're in jail.
On power and shit.
Not him being in jail.
They say this is a big rich time, nigga. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I had all this credit card debt, and I just lost my job. And so I told myself, you know, I'm going to really focus on paying off this credit card debt. So I didn't go out. I didn't do anything. So for 2.5 years, it was $35,000. For 2.5 years, I did nothing but focus on the debt, and I paid it off. And when I was done, I was like, still broke. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, wait, I thought I was gonna, like, did I have some extra money left over a month? No. Yeah, like a few hundred dollars, because I don't have to pay it toward that that debt. But still, it didn't, I was like, damn, I spent all that time and I'm broke. And I was looking at my student loan debt, it was $52,000. And I said, do I spend the next 3 years focusing on the student loan debt? Or at the time, I was really starting to build the Budgetista. And like the light bulb clicked on, and I was like, no, I am going to put, I'm going to give my student loan debt the minimum balance, like the minimum payment every single month, and automate it and leave it. And then I'm going to put all of my energy and the rest of my money that I'm not using for other things into growing the Budgetista.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I got to a point with the Budgetista because it was like that $52,000 that I could have, it wasn't $52,000. I don't know how much I must have invested in the Budgetista, but I didn't put that extra money toward that debt. I invested it into my business, and then 2 years ago, I was able to write a $52,000 check for that debt. Not only just that, in that same year, it was that $52,000 check. I also bought my house, a 180 house, cash.
Stop it. Wow.
I paid off my daddy and my mommy's house, cash, $120,000. And I renovated my house, cash, another 180. And so all of that. So imagine if I would have spent that same energy.
Those 2 years.
Yes. Yeah. So now it wasn't 2 years that it took me to get to the Budgetista to that point. I would say it probably was maybe like 5 to 7 years, you know, but still, like, look how using my time to reinvest back into myself into growing wealth.
Redirecting the energy, yeah.
I can get you, if you focus on growing wealth, you get debt freedom by default. Mm. If you focus on getting debt free, that's all you get.
I want
us to focus on learning, earning, growing wealth. Honestly, my life is like completely different because I was really someone who was like, nope. My mama said, you got to pay off this debt. You got to pay off this debt.
That's what
you
I know? Did.
And so there's nothing wrong with that. But you're like, I can use that energy elsewhere.
Right.
Like, how can I reinvest it back into myself? You know, I'm going to take this marketing class and I'm gonna write more books and I'm going to figure out how I can grow this business and hire more people and do those. And so
that's so real because that's literally what I did. A lot of the campaigns I've done over the years, I use that to pay off debt as opposed to using it, like you said,
to reinvest back
to reinvest into me and making myself bigger. So it's that's a lesson. That's actually really valuable. I'm so glad you brought that up.
As people to focus on that. Learning, earning, and growing wealth. That debt freedom will take care of itself. Don't ignore your debt now.
Right.
Like, put it on set it and forget it. Let it do that. Focus all of your energy once you've automated it into growing wealth.
Mm.
One of the biggest questions that we did get, actually it was like, I'd say 50% of the questions was, how do I grow that wealth?
Good question. Yeah. So growing wealth a few different ways. You can do like slow and steady and like invest. So, well, first, let's talk about foundationally, right? You should be setting aside money for your future. Mm. So in some sort of retirement account. If you don't do nothing else, because most of us don't know, where do I put it? I don't know. Everybody's a liar and a cheat, a thief, right? Right? Especially black folks. Under the mattress, right? So here, three words. Write this down. Pull over, Keisha. I see you. Okay, Jamal? He's like, wait, what? She called me. I'm talking to you. Right? So target date fund. If you don't know nothing else, if you don't take anything else away from our talk today, remember those three words. Target date fund. Here's how that works. So the way a target date fund works is that it's typically a mutual fund, which is a collection of different types of investments. So like stocks and bonds. And so the way stocks work is that stocks are, you own a piece of a company, right? And so stocks are a little bit riskier because if the company goes up, it goes up. If the company goes down, it goes down. But with high risk comes high reward. So if you're trying to grow your money fast and big, stocks, right? Then there are bonds. Bonds are typically issued by municipalities and the government. And so they're a little bit safer. They don't go up very much, but they keep you kind of balanced. So typically you're looking for a balanced portfolio. You ever heard someone say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that means a balance of stocks and a balance of bonds, right? So my dad, who is 75, he should have more bonds than stocks. And because the older you get, the more your money should be in safer, more conservative investments.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Roman, my nephew, who's 4, if I'm going to invest for him, he's going to be 96% stocks. That's because so he has a long time to go before he has to pull it out, right? Mm. So most of us are like, well, how do I even know how to do that? You don't have to. That's what a target date fund does for you. It actually rebalances for you year after year based upon the target date. So let's just say you say to yourself, okay, like I just turned 40 and I tell myself I want to retire when I'm 60, let's just say. So I would put my money in a target date fund for 20 years from now, 2040. Mm-hmm. So I would pick a target date fund for 2040 or as close to as 2040 as I can get. Usually target date funds are like every 5 years, right? So I would put my money in there, and so then it would rebalance itself every year. The closer and closer I get to 2040, the more conservative my money will reinvest itself. I don't have to do anything except for set up the target date fund.
And monitor it.
Not even really. Just like you literally, it will rebalance. It's like, oh, Dustin's 1 year closer. Rebalance a little less stocks, a little more bonds. He's even closer. So it does it for you. And you just put your money like a savings account. Every pay period, you put $20 into your target date fund. If you don't do anything else, please, Black people, I beg you, open you up a target date fund. So there are companies like Vanguard, Charles Schwab, Fidelity. Here's what you're going to look for. I personally like Vanguard, but here's what you're going to look for. You're going to look for something called an expense ratio. That's really, what's the fee are they charging me to manage my fund?
Right, to make sure it matures appropriately. Exactly. From bonds versus stocks.
Yes.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Right? So you are going to look for the lowest expense ratio. Now, there are people who will charge an expense ratio of 1 or 2%, which doesn't sound like much until you do the math, and it might be $100,000 in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. So what I like about, so you're going to look for, there are plenty of target date funds that charge you, I think at the time, like right now, Vanguard is like 0.09%, meaning like you might have like $10,000 in there and maybe they're charging you like $30 a year or something like that. Mm. Whereas if you were to work with a financial planner or a financial advisor and you don't have a complicated, like I had a financial advisor for a long time when I didn't really quite need one because I didn't have enough stuff going on to warrant the $1,200 I paid him.
Yes.
You know, when I could have just put my money in a Vanguard Target Date fund and paid $30.
Yep.
Because let's just say this, right? Let's just say, in order for him to pay for himself, my target date fund would have to make me $1,200 to pay him plus whatever interest for me. And they've done the studies to find that the automated system that they use in target date funds does better than the actual person choosing for you.
Wow.
So you're literally losing money because they're not as good. So I know there are financial advisors who are rolling their eyes. Oh, well. Right. Now, I'm not saying financial advisors are the worst, because you have to buy, with financial advisors, you can buy insurance and things like that. So you can buy other investment vehicles.
You just said that it's only a requirement for somebody who has a portfolio that reflects the need for that.
Yeah. So like right now, I have a financial planner, but I also have 4 businesses.
Right.
Right. I have property. I have so it makes sense for me to pay Angelie. That's my plan. It makes sense for me to pay her.
Angelie, yeah. Is your financial planner.
Angelique.
Oh, you hear me?
Shout out to you, Angelique. No, honestly, I love Angelique. She be getting me together. But so it makes sense because I'm not paying her just for one thing.
Right.
Like Angelique, because she's not cheap. I pay Angelique $15,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. I hear
that. But she also, like, she's setting up health insurance and benefits for my companies. Mm-hmm. So she does personal, she's doing all of the things. And so, and it's a write-off for me because the budget needs to pay for that.
Wow.
You know? So, but like Tiffany, I would say 10 years ago, didn't need all of that. If I would have known, I just would have opened up a target date fund, put my money there every pay period and let it rock out.
The hell with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because that's truthfully what they're kind of going to do for you anyway. Most of your financial advisors are going to kind of do that for you anyway. But you can do that yourself and save that money.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to get this tonight.
I have a question.
Okay. Come into the room.
How do you build, because, you know, you needed to know the difference between finding a planner versus an advisor versus, so how do you even source out a network of people of color that specialize in any sort of financial services? Because you might have someone that has a tax need versus, like you were saying, the planner, they can help you purchase like healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I feel like, is something, a whole nother language in itself, trying to figure out like what you need, like for co-pays and deductibles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you go about finding a network of people of color?
You know, I said I was going to start one because I'm in this. So I know all the hot people, you know?
And I know you know.
But you know,
and we can't have Carlos.
I know. Carlos, like, don't say my name online no more. Because Carlos is my account that everybody, I mean,
that
everybody loves Carlos.
Been trying
oh my
to get.
God. Carlos is the best. Like, and Carlos is black.
Hey.
Angelie's actually Indian. Hey, Angelie. Hey. And so, it's honestly, it is hard to find. I'm in a Facebook group where all these financial educators and things are in the Facebook group. So I know, like, oh, there's Dominique for that. Oh, Sandy does this, you know.
Right.
And I said, I probably should just start a directory because I honestly don't know of a directory. And I said I was going to start one on top of my 5011 job. But I should just start a directory so people can find people.
Yeah, because, to your point, so necessary.
No, for real. I mean, well, I already got the budgetnista.com. Right? But I know what you mean, that we should have a budgetnista directory. Now maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I should just put it up and let people put their own stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I totally believe in you doing that. Just because you already offer so many resources on your own,
mm-hmm.
but then there are people I feel like that would benefit from like being able to like talk to somebody one mm-hmm. or like get a more personalized service.
Exactly.
Or if they're not like a go-getter themselves, or they can't self-start, or they just don't know like where to pinpoint because there's so much to it. Because let's say you leave that job and you no longer have to fill out the 1040. Now you got to figure out what your new forms mm-hmm. are. And, you know, then you want to learn about deductibles, but you don't want to expense the wrong things, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like for example, like my boy, he's actually from Harlem, but I think he lives in I know he lives in he's so Harlem too. Like yo Tiff, yo. I'm like, you are very Harlem. And so his name is.
They're the ones be having the money.
His name is Ash Cash.
Okay.
Ash Cash. So that's like his real name too. I think his first name is like Ash Tentanius.
And
like
I know the S in that. Ash is a dollar sign.
Right? But he's dope and he's black and he does one-on-ones. Right?
Yeah.
And so when people ask me, like I usually say, I'm like, go to IamAshCash.com and get you a one-on-one.
Wow.
But I know, honestly, like my friend Nativa, she's actually the creditnista, and she will get your whole life together. So I know.
Ooh.
So my friend Sandy's one of my favorites. She does side hustles with Sandy. When I tell you, when I first met her, she was working at HR full time, and she was able to, what does Sandy do? Oh, $80,000 in 1 year selling stuff on Amazon. Mugs.
Get out of here.
Yes. So,
wow.
So she did that to pay off her student loan debt.
Wow.
And so, but like, these are amazing people. My friend Dantisha, she's actually teaching a class like tonight or something like that. But black woman that helps you take your idea from idea to invention to product on the shelf. She partners with one of the sharks from Shark Tank. I forget the name. The guy with like, he had like really great hair. He was one of the original sharks.
I was about to Mr. say,
Mr. Wonderful.
The other one. He also wore like gray suits. You know what I mean?
I know you're talking about.
I know it ain't Bethany stingy ass.
She ain't got the coins like that. That's what that's about. No shade, Bethany, if you want a partner. But okay. But Dantisha, because how many people, you might not have $10,000 for a patent and a lawyer and this and that, but she teaches, like, she's teaching a class now for women of, like, my women of color. She's teaching a class, and normally she charges $10,000 for a six-month intensive. She's doing a two-hour long class on Thursday, and she's doing it for $50, and I just asked her to I asked her to do me a favor. I was like, 'cause so many people want to get into this world, but they can't. And so, well, if you want, that's six-figure product.
.com.
And so I think it's like $100, but then if you use the word Dreamcatcher, all one word, it takes a dollar off. But it's live. Actually, by the time y'all hear, it's actually probably going to be closed. I don't even know what I told you. My bad.
But they need to know what it is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm like,
have fun with that FOMO. Like,
hey, no, you're right. I'm like, hey, she's going to be like, girl, you got these people cussing me out. But that's to your point, Asante. I know so many amazing people of color that do this. And because my whole team, I think about Tony, she's my attorney. She's black. Ari, he's also an attorney, my attorney. He's black. My COO, my CFO, my CMO.
Hmm.
And so I'm surrounded by black excellence. And you're right. I think people need access to that.
Yes. We do. I will help. I'll be your intern to help get it together.
I will too.
Need,
I know the check going to come on time.
Okay.
But when I tell you, like, honestly, one of my, like, when I first started the Budgetnista, I remember my mentor, shout out to Lynette Calfani Cox. She's one of the first black women, financial black women on TV.
She sound rich.
She is. Right? She be putting me to shame. I'd be like, wait, what? Don't you know the other day on Facebook, she had like these like Monopoly houses on Facebook, and she was like, "These represent the houses me and my husband own." There's a lot of them there. I was like, "Well, damn, yeah." She's on a whole nother level.
Ooh, goals.
But she cracked open the door for me to even see that there was more, because in the beginning
the
I was just doing one-on-ones. I'm like, if I could just make $1,000 a month, we got this. And then she showed me that there were so many streams of income that I didn't even think of. Like, literally, I will launch a project with a friend of mine who does something dope, and I will share, like, I did this with a friend, Tila, who teaches stocks, and she's a single mom. She wanted to spend more time with her kids. She's now married, but wanted to spend more time with her kids. So she learned how to trade online, started a school called, like, Trade Your 9-to-5 or something like that. And she we did, like, a partnership together. And I was like, Tila, you know, give us a good price. You know, I know you normally charge, I think it's like $1,500 or whatever, but do a one-day or one-week workshop for us. And she did. And $200,000 nearly in 2 or 3 days is what we made.
Wow.
I was even shocked. But do you see, like, what was it that you said, friend, that you love so much? Community? No, you said last time that you love
ecosystems. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it changes everything.
I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends that we've done things together and made six figures.
Yes.
That, like, it's mind-blowing, because as a preschool teacher, I wasn't even making $40,000 a year.
Lord, that just touched my chest when you said that. Because I can imagine what that feels like to be in the difference of, like, the experience being so different.
Yeah, it is.
From when you were a preschool teacher. Also, just whenever you want to rack up six figures with your boy.
We're trying to be on the money team. You know what I'm saying?
We could figure something out.
Just imagine, like, together, like, if you were to lean into your circle.
Your offerings.
Yes. I think Issa Rae said it best. She's like, right, everybody wants to network up.
No.
I want to talk to Oprah. She's like, I believe in horizontal networking.
Yeah.
Honestly, I pull the people that I know.
It's,
you know,
true.
I'm like, well, what you working on? That sounds good. My Dreamcasters would love that. Or what am I doing? I'm doing this. Well, share me with your audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you just never know if we worked collectively together. I don't have to look outside of us. I run 2 7-figure-a-year companies. One of them is a multi-7-figure-a-year company. For real. A 6-figure-a-year company and a 5-figure-a-year company. I mean, like, with staying right here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is without, like, you know, like, folks outside of my culture really knowing, like, who I am. I mean, they're just starting to figure out a little bit. Every once in a while, I'll get someone and be like, oh my God,
you're the Budgetista.
And I'm like,
no.
I welcome all the sisters.
That's
right. But it's just, like, interesting. But still, like, imagine
that
all
impact.
That's built. Yeah, exactly. Yes. But all that built within
our own community.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to reach outside yourself. You have everything you need right here. You have to lean in and work collectively together. I believe what's for me is for me. I share a lot. People always think I'm foolish for how much I share.
No.
I have put so many people on. When I tell you, I have.
It comes back tenfold.
Tenfold. And plus, my mother taught me that you reap what you sow, but not always where you sow.
Yes.
So there are people who I've literally helped build 6-figure businesses for them, and then they shitted on me later, and I'm like, okay. But then something else comes along,
another
and I'll sign
blessing.
A contract. Mm-hmm.
You could turn around and snap your fingers in the face if you sign a new contract.
Right? And then when whatever magic I brought to the table for them wears off, and they realize, oh, you know what, dang, you know, that was Tiffany that helped me do that. And they can't come back to the well.
Breeze burn, honey.
Mm-hmm. You could join that.
Torched.
You could join such and such in jail. Such a, yeah. Hey, such and such.
Hey, such and such.
Hey, such and such. You didn't forget a name.
Hey, such
and such. No,
you didn't. No, you had no moment.
But I love that, because, like I was saying, a lot of the bigger questions where people are just being like, you know, it's easier said than done being told you need to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you're already short on time, short on energy, full of, you know, up to your neck in debt. Some people working 2-3 jobs, and they're like, "It's how can you tell me you just need to make more?"
Okay, so here's the thing. So, okay, this is because if you don't always necessarily need to make more, but you have to learn to grow more. So I know a woman. She's a mom, her and her 2 kids, that's it. So she was trying to figure out, like, okay, how do I make more money? I can't work anymore.
Right.
My kids are really little.
There's no time.
What do I do?
Make them sew and cook.
Get to work, babies.
Yeah, I've had my kids sewing like a motherfucker. Like that. It'll be fun to you. You have to push a pedal. You know what I'm saying?
Push the pedal. No, she took a push the pedal. You
well,
won't
I got that shit together.
That's a factory.
Oh, in house.
No, child labor.
Your family is praise.
So what she realizes that, like, so she sells stuff on Poshmark. So she takes pictures of all the stuff, right? And she actually goes to, like, these, like, thrift stores, finds really like dope things. So she's got a really great eye, you know, and sometimes she'll even take up to like a seamstress to get them like maybe the hem shorter or whatever.
Yeah, seamstress, all right. You know who really fixed that hem.
Dead.
My right? Man, Jimmy.
I said make it straight.
You know what to do. You're going in there.
So she sells stuff on Poshmark, but that's not enough. Right, so mm-hmm. she sells stuff on Poshmark, and she uses the Poshmark money, and she took my friend Tila. Remember, I told you she has mm-hmm. a Trajan 9-to-5 class yes. or academy. And she took her class, and she uses that money to trade with, to mm. grow. But do you see? So this is someone she takes the pictures when the kids are asleep. On the weekends, goes to mail out on Saturday to the mailbox with the kids in tow. Mm-hmm. And then once she gets that money, she's been using it to trade. So then she can, because you can trade at any time. So when the kids are asleep, she can trade online, and she's been making money that way. So smart. Where there truly is a will, there's a way. You don't have to have all the resources. Just one really great idea. When I was a preschool teacher, I used to tutor. I used to babysit.
Mm-hmm.
You can make money that way. You know, like you can, there's so many things. So like for example, if you're a teacher, I never used to like to make my lesson plans. What if, like, if you're a teacher and your lesson plans are awesome, why not start a subscription where it's $5 a month and people can get a lesson plan delivered directly to
ooh.
Them? You know?
Especially with the technology now.
Yes, teachers will pay for that, hands down. Like, lesson plans that are aligned with the federal standards.
Yeah.
And you get $5 a month from, say, like, 50 teachers, you know
ooh,
what I mean? But do you see?
Genius.
And yes. Literally, what's so genius about it is...
Look at all the ideas you got.
Right?
You need to be up in Silicon Valley or something. You need a tank or something.
Because I don't believe in excuses, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you can lean into that and say, woe is me. Or you can say, you know what? Because my dad would always say when I was younger, if I got like a B and I came home with it, he'd be like, oh, okay, did anybody get an A? And I'm like, yeah, I think Jimmy got an A. He said, oh, so they was giving out A's. And I'm like, meaning that if somebody did it, why didn't you?
Mm.
Are they an alien? Do they have two heads? That's what my dad would say. Do they have two heads? My dad is Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, meaning like, are they, is something so special right. about them? So you're not reinventing the wheel. Like, literally, the solution is out there, you know? So, like, someone else is making money. How are you not making money?
Mm.
You know, there's another black woman with two kids making money. So then, if you're a black woman with two kids, so can you. Like, the solution is out there. You might not know it what it is yet, but it doesn't mean that it's not out there. You have to know that if you have a question, just by nature of you having a question, there is an answer.
Yeah.
You know, there's a yin and a yang to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, how do I do this? You don't know the answer, but the how you do it is out there.
And there's some people who simply need that push to get started.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who definitely have the drive and the ambition. They just need somewhere to start from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're such a valuable resource offering these sort of gems for free over a podcast like this
right.
and throughout all the other tons of opportunities you get. Because I've been seeing you, girl,
mm.
moving around.
Yo, let me tell you, like, probably the coolest thing that just recently happened, I was just telling Fran earlier that I did these series of videos for mm-hmm. CNBC.
OMG.
Right? And I was like, and usually these days, I'm like, you know, I try to keep it cool. Like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's happy, you know? Like, when we did Usher.
Yes.
You know, although I was geeked, I'm not going to lie, but we didn't meet Usher. Oh, no, I did meet Usher.
Yeah,
even though he looked
totally.
Like a dog. Whatever. I got my picture either way. Everybody was like, is that a wax figure?
People thought it was a cutout.
Because he was so frozen.
Damn.
Yo.
Damn.
Yeah, it was under the comments like, is yeah. that a cutout,
I'm
Tiffany?
Like, yeah, I'm taking a cutout freaking Usher.
That must have been that week that girl said he had gave her
No. I want to come back.
He had a lot going on that week.
He was tired.
Right? So, meanwhile, I laughed at him. I'm sure he thought, what was I saying? Shit. Oh, no. So, I did the videos for CNBC.
Yes.
Right? And so, they told me, like, it's a slight possibility that your videos can be picked up by the New York official, like, transportation hub. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. Someone tweeted me 2 days ago, was like, yo, I see you, and sent me a picture. I'm looking at the picture, like, what kind of computer screen is that? He's like, no, yo, I'm in a taxi. I'm like, I'm in a fucking taxi.
So you broadcasting the damn New York
all
City taxi.
All of them.
Taxis.
How many wow. taxis
there
is
are
that,
about
Tiffany?
14,000 taxis, and they
oh
make 300,000 to 400,000 trips a month.
Wow.
And I was like, what? No, I think even a day. Forget a month. So imagine how many people wow. are going to get in a taxi and see my face talking about, hey, it's me, the Budgetista. Here's how you budget. Here's how you save. Here's how you face
wow.
your credit.
Mm-hmm. And you gave those lessons in that
yep.
video.
Mm-hmm. So I take probably like 8 to 12 little clips
little
for
vignettes.
That.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, what is this like?
And I would play that. You know, I'm one of those that presses mute as soon as I get
in. Me too, but I would listen to what Tiffany had
no,
to say.
No, I would absolutely listen. What?
But it's just so crazy. And also, too, like to
that's
to,
dope,
to,
Tiffany.
So
thank
dope,
you.
Man.
But to ecosystem, right? So the sister that beat my face, I make sure I tag her in all things. I see how many people now use her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Same. Right? I do so that every time.
Because you just never know.
My hair
right?
braider, my hair stylist.
If we just Wee did man. That more and more. I mean, you know. Yeah, so I don't silly. Partake, but I hear about it. I don't partake, but I know people who do.
Need to know who got that good green, you know what I'm saying?
Dead.
Right? And so, but like, imagine if we did that more and more.
I know. Right?
Like my so my sister is my stylist, and I'm always tagging her, and as a result, she's been able to get more and more styling jobs. You just Dope. Like, I just think that
I
like,
wish people did that more.
Yeah, did that more. I hear people say, well, I paid her, why I need to tag them? And you're like, okay. But here's the thing, that energy you put out is the same energy you get back.
Right.
You know? And so like, yeah. So honestly, I just want us to know that there's a lot of money out there to get a ton. If I just tell you, like, so you could do things like, for example, like if like influencers now, you know, you're fighting all these pennies online, like, I want to be the one that says, you know, like, why, wear my Fashion Nova. Meanwhile, I didn't realize Fashion Nova's rates, just how dismal they were. Mm-hmm. Right? So Fashion Nova's paying you, like, say, $500 for 30 posts. I'm like, the hell?
What?
That's crazy for some people. Right? But meanwhile, there's something called an SMT. I did this 2 or 3 of these last year where I sit in front of a camera for like 3 or 4 hours, and a certain brand, like, so let's just pretend a brand, like a toothpaste brand, and they're like, hey, Tiffany, we want you to integrate our brand into this conversation with every news outlet that calls in, right? So they've already prepped a news outlet, like, you know, they, I guess they paid to have like what seems like it's like an infomercial. So they call it, okay, this is Janet from ABC News in North Carolina. Hey, Tiffany. Hey, Janet. Okay, let's start. Hey, Tiffany, so how are you? Did you know that toothpaste is really good for you? So I do that for 3 or 4 hours, and at minimum $30,000, usually about maximum $50,000 in one damn day. You fighting over Fashion Nova coins, sis, there's more out there.
Wow. And honestly, it messes up the influencer economy mm-hmm. when people are willing to work for free mm-hmm. and take whatever is given, you
just
know,
for
because
the sake of
yeah,
what
it appears. Really messes. Sometimes I wish that we could all, that's why there needs to be like a union or something yes. where we all come together and say, no, these are the rates, yes. these are the standards based on your following, like don't let anyone pay you less than.
And if you did that, because I mean, like even in our Black Money group, we talk about it all the time. I'm like, how much did you get from such
oh,
and
we
such?
Do that all the time.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to know.
And yes, because you just, get jerked.
What? Somebody just offered me. Now, right now, I get, like, my keynote rate is $30,000, right?
Hey,
right?
Man.
And so, like,
shot
so.
So
this conference just came to me, and, like, they offered me a keynote rate of $2,500. I'm like, coming in? And I really thought it was a mistake. I was like, oh, you forgot a zero. No, because I really, so I was like, you know, call me, because clearly, and he was like, no. I thought, you know, because, you know, we, you know, we're kind of well. I was like,
are you crazy?
I was like, yo, I don't tweet for $2,500. That's what I told him. I don't
are
tweet
you
for
crazy?
I couldn't even, I was so offended. No offense. But meanwhile, I know for a fact that same conference also is paying all these others mm-hmm. $30,000 to $50,000.
Right.
So you thought you was going to come here. Yo, I got a whole law pass, bruh.
Yeah.
I was like, and this is one of the reasons why, quite honestly, I work internally to grow, because if you treat your audience right, I don't need out there. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's
because
so
you treat
real.
Your audience right, then your audience will invest right back into
Talk
you.
That shit,
and
Tiffany.
You can invest back into them.
Yes.
So I'm like, I don't need, I could work with, never work with a big brand.
Yeah.
And still, like, honestly, the 7 figures that I make have nothing to do with the brand.
That is so real.
Nothing to do with the brand. It's all internal. It's all people buying books, people being a part of my Literature Academy, all of that. That's what it's mostly from. And so, like, because I just don't want to ever be, like, I don't want to be beholden to making money by doing things that's not in alignment with how I want to show up.
Ever.
Yeah. You know?
Ever.
So wow. I want to be. That's the point of all your hard work.
Exactly.
Is to have total fulfillment mm-hmm. when it comes to your professional endeavors. Fran speaks about that all the time.
It's a non-negotiable. And yeah. I really don't like the guilt that people try to put on you, yeah. where it's like, come on, you talk about community all the time. And it's like, yes, and you should feel ashamed
yes.
that
yeah.
you're trying to make me lower my rate.
Yes.
That's not community, actually.
And you can decide. Like, I volunteer all the time. I don't feel
exactly.
guilty anymore.
Look,
I
was we do this show for free every
yes.
week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
for real.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, what a value you're bringing to people's lives.
And you know what else? I'm sorry, I definitely didn't mean to cut you
go
off.
Ahead.
But once you've established a pattern of only accepting a certain level of compensation,
you'll
you don't
get
have a
more of that.
Yes.
Donating your time to what you feel are worthy mm-hmm. causes. Mm-hmm. You don't have a problem going to talk to the kids. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, and and don't want, actually you end up wanting to contribute into those situations mm-hmm. to make them really enriched at a level that you know that those recipients deserve. So it only makes sense to be rewarded appropriately for your hard work mm-hmm. so that you can have charitable endeavors and really get into philanthropy if that's what you want to do.
Exactly.
Shit.
So like, I just think that like you, that you can give and still be paid well. Like I've Amen. Learned that like you can
literally my
do
brand.
Good work mm. for real. I want to do good work. I want to help good people and I want to make good money.
That's mm-hmm.
you can do
no,
all
what's
of
wrong
those things.
With that?
Nothing. Not a damn thing. Let's get these questions. I know they're like Tiffany. Shut the fuck up.
No.
My bad.
Before we do get into the questions, uh-huh. can you really quickly mention the side hustle website that you said yes. your friend? Because I know they're gonna want to know that.
Okay, I know Sandy's gonna kill me.
And it ain't onlyfans.com. No judgment, but that just ain't what she about to talk about.
Trade one if you get.
Yes, I'm gonna find.
Because I know people are gonna be like, please, at least just give us those yes. two gems. Because you know people do need some. There, I know people are willing to do that, but they just need a little nudge
again,
in the
start.
Right direction. Yeah. yeah, so we can just give them those two sites. And of course, those of you listening, I will write them down
Absolutely.
Underneath where the information is.
I think so. She has so it. I googled because it's my her friend. Her name is Sandy. We always tease. It's called Side Hustles with Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you literally her class, her school is actually called Yes, I Am Cheap. So, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
But honestly, here's the thing. I have, so Sandy, Tila, all these people, I have an online school called the Live Richer Academy.
Yes, which people were saying
yes.
changed mm-hmm. their
yes.
life.
So I make sure all of them are in there. Sandy teaches side hustles in there. Tila teaches trading your 9-to-5 in there. Ash Cash teaches money mindset. So everyone I mentioned, I'm mentioning them because they're inside the Live Richer Academy. And honestly, I'm going to give you, because usually if you go to liverichercademy.com, the academy is like, I think it's like $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But here is like our like, well, sometimes when I go live, I give this like secret link and it's 40% off.
Ooh,
and it is,
damn.
Yes.
Y'all,
yes.
write this
thank
down.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah, so let me make sure. I'm like, let me, because we turned it off sometimes, so let me make sure it still works. Right? Because, you know, people be doing the most.
Yeah. I was told by Apple Care.
Yes.
Shit.
So it's join. LRA for Literature Academy, join LRA.com and it is still working and it brings them from $50 a month, let me make sure, it brings from $50 a month to $30 a month, $29.99.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you'll literally, so don't go to liveritureacademy.com because you'll see the full price there. This is like our temporary link that we make live every once in a while.
Can you repeat it one more time, the link?
So it's join, joinlra.com and that's the link to get the, you'll see it says like
the
29
discount.
Yeah, the 40% off. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, thank you so
thank
much
you.
Yes. And it's, so through there they'll be able to see all of the
all
teachers
of the, mm-hmm. all of the teachers. So like I, the people in my life that have helped me to get to where I am now, I always call myself a baby millionaire and I'm always really transparent about my finances. So my net worth right now, I think last time I met with Angela it was like $1.2 million.
Amen.
Now that's net worth like not, because people are like, oh, you got not cash
net worth. Yeah.
Yeah, so net worth is the difference from what you own and what you owe.
Mm.
So you own this amount of money, but how much of that do you actually owe?
Mm.
So you might actually owe more than you own and you have a negative net worth.
That
there
ain't
are people
cool.
who
wow.
right, there are people who own say $1 million house, but they owe $10 million. So that means Ooh. Your net worth is negative $9 million.
That sounds like that TLC movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's what it sounds like.
No, for real. Like, because TLC, to that point, to Dustin's point, honestly, they had made all that money. So
yeah.
ownership,
and
but then they end up owing.
It.
Exactly.
That's
Sheesh.
Why they popped off at the Grammys like that
as
in the press
should.
Room.
As Remember? They should.
Lisa mm-hmm. was like, so let me tell you
Hello.
How. And she's
okay.
doing the math.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, like, you really want to protect your net worth. So what I did inside the academy is I've reached out to all of those finance. That's almost like where the directory is. Actually, that's where I'm going to start with, Asante,
yes.
sorry. Yes, I'm actually going to grab, because it's about 50 to 60 different experts in there.
Ooh.
I'm going to put them in a directory, because the Academy members, I call them my dream builders, they have access to that full directory of people.
Wow.
But I never thought about making that public.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could sell that directory or something.
I
mean,
I'll
buy
it.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Because look, if you want to keep it behind the paywall, I was already about to get my percent off, okay? I got the link now, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, man. Okay, so yes. Now that we have that, let's get into some of the questions. So, student loans. Mm-hmm. So, someone says, I want to start a PhD program, but it's $30,000.
Okay.
I am already $170,000 in debt from my bachelor's and master's. I have maintained and paid off my debt pretty well so far. My credit score is in the mid-700s. Mm-hmm. Do you think accruing PhD debt is... Death, you hear me?
That's the same thing.
Is worth it financially, and is it manageable?
Did they say what they're getting a PhD in?
No.
So here's the thing that I want you to think about education as an investment, right? So you invest in something because you want it to yield you something. So yield you financially. So they found that, and there's nothing wrong with getting a PhD. Shout out to Dr. Kia.
Yes.
Right. Praise the Lord, niggas. Okay. I'll be listening too.
Yes.
So, right? So there's nothing wrong with getting a PhD if that's what you're wanting to edify yourself.
Yes.
But just know that if you're thinking about it as a financial decision, that... they found that the money that you put into the PhD, you actually don't get it back.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. So there are very few percent. Like for example, if you're going to be a surgeon, then you're going to see it back there. But for most PhDs, they're not getting a PhD in they're not getting a doctorate degree for surgery. Like if you're a cardiologist, you're gonna make that money back.
Right. Right. Of course. Look at Married to Medicine.
Exactly. Well, some of them. We know that one.
I'm sorry, because I know you on the roll, but I just couldn't help it.
There's that one that be trying to pay off her bills.
Okay, see her moving.
I got no furniture.
If you don't settle down. Okay.
Okay, I have a question. This might just be basic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I don't have credit cards.
Okay.
But I used to at one point, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
But there's a credit card I've always eyed.
Okay, which is?
A Delta card.
Okay.
Should I or shouldn't I?
Well, tell me the reasoning behind wanting to get it.
He wants the miles.
Yeah. Okay. I fly a lot anyway, so I like my miles. And I wouldn't use it for the entire balance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to decide to get one, and let's say I was able to get approved for one.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be dumb for me to just spend the $200 or $300 on there a month and pay that off versus the entire balance? Like, does that affect my credit weirdly, or would it still be cool?
Well, let's start with first the credit card. I don't think, to me, we have to remember a credit card is like a tool. I want you to think of a credit card like a hammer, right? So you can use that hammer to build your financial life, or your house, right? Or you can use a hammer to destroy your house. It's up to you. Asanda, you are the holder of the hammer. Credit cards are not inherently bad or good. They just are.
Right.
Mm. So once you understand that, then you're like, okay. So if you think that you're ready, for a credit card, I probably wouldn't get a card for an airline because I would much rather you get a card like, is it Chase? I have the card. It's like a Chase Sapphire card or whatever, but you can
with
Google
all the rewards.
Yeah, so Google the one. You can get a travel card that has additional rewards.
Okay,
you see what I mean?
That's what I need.
So that's because like for example, I have like because I use my cards for marketing, I have like over 1 million points on my card, so I can travel anywhere for free. But the good thing is I can use it not just for travel. Because of the Chase Sapphire card, I can use those points for other things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want you to, for example, it's like getting a Home Depot card. There are some rare instances where it makes sense to get a store card, like when my husband and I were renovating our house.
Right.
I could have gotten a Home Depot card temporarily just because, but I would say typically it was, but instead what we did was we got a credit card. They gave us like, I think like 1% cash back.
Mm-hmm.
So we used that as our Home Depot card.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, I was able to get thousands of dollars cash back versus whatever Home Depot was trying to give me. So I would say to get a travel card that gives you other rewards. So that's one, if you're going to get a card, there's nothing wrong with that. And then two, paying off your debt in full every month is always the wave. I've seen these things float around where they're like, pay half on the 15th and half on the 30th. Or whatever. Riddle me this. So, Fran, let's just say I owed you money, right? And I'm like, girl, I know I owe you $1,000. I'm going to pay you $100 a month. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to pay you half on the 15th. Does that mean anything to you? Give me my shit. For real, right? It doesn't mean, it doesn't make you feel like better. You're like, okay. Or you could just give me
like,
all my...
Just give it to me. That's it.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Exactly. So, but paying off your debt in full every month is always going to be better for your credit score.
Mm.
And if you can't pay it off in full every month, really try to get your score down to under 30%. 100% utilization. So what that means is, let's just say you have a $1,000 limit card. You want to keep your balance under $300. Mm-hmm. Because anything above that is literally taking your score. 30% of your score is amounts owed, meaning 30% of your score really is based upon your utilization. Mm-hmm. And if you owe too much, you're bringing down your score significantly.
And I remember you had mentioned on the last show that mm-hmm. there's a date that you should mm-hmm. be paying after or yes. during.
So
can you remind us of that?
Sure. So the mistake I was making, so I had this one card that I used to call my, I still have it. I call it my jump like Jordan card. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, LeBron's cute, but I'm 40. So Jordan. Why? He stunts all of them. Right? And so I call it my jump like Jordan card because that's the card that I use to make my credit score jump up. And I don't put anything on that card except for Netflix. I leave that card at home. So Netflix charges that card every month. And then every month I have a separate bank account, checking account, just for my bill money. So every month my bill money pays that card off in full. And so you can give yourself a boost by paying off $9 a month on Netflix, because the credit bureaus, they don't, or the credit reporting agencies, they don't care about the amount. Mm. They care about the habit. So it could be $9,000 a month, so $9 fun. A month, 9 cents a month.
That's crazy.
It don't matter. It's that same like, oh, you out here paying. You
it's kind of like cheating. Wow. It mm-hmm. don't matter if it was one person, three people, whatever.
Either
you
way.
Cheated.
Exactly.
Oh, my yeah. God.
No, but for real. See? And so, like,
stop. I should have cheated.
Right? And so, but the key is, so when I first got my Jump Like Jordan card, right, it was just a regular, like, Bank of America card. So when I first got it, literally, Netflix used to charge my card sale on the first, and I would have my bills account paid off on, like, the third. And then I didn't see any movement, and I didn't understand why. I was paying off too quickly that the card company
I do that.
Was reporting mm-hmm. it.
They didn't have enough time to even say I used it. Mm. They're like, well, by the time we report, it was already paid off. So I was like, oh. So because I remember I called. I was like, how come you're not reporting that I'm paying off my card? They're like, are you using your card?
Because you're like, yeah.
You're paying it off so quickly before we can report it. And I said, well, when do you report it? They said the statement date. I said, okay. So when I learned is, well, what day is my statement date? They'll let you know. Really, it's the date that the statement is issued to you. Mm-hmm. So once they issue it to you, that means they have told the credit bureaus that Fran, Asante, Dustin has used their card. And by the due date, pay it off. So you want to charge your card, pay it off after the statement date, but by the due date. Mm-hmm. Mm. So if you do, those are the two dates. After the statement date, after they've reported usage, but then by the due date, because you don't want to be late, obviously. So if right. you do that, then you'll be good to go. But like, put something super cheap on. I couldn't even tell you where that card is. I remember when I lost my house to foreclosure during the recession, I had an 802 credit score before, and then it dropped down to a 547,
mm-hmm.
which I found out about when I was teaching a credit class, and I had the nerve to pull up my credit, and I had not checked it. So, you know, I was like, how did my sister account get on here? I took that down so quick. They were like, what? I was like, sack.
I can't
Can you imagine? I was like,
can somebody call IT?
They lied up in here.
This is a good example of
no, exactly. I'm like, a fraud. Right? And so, but then I was able to raise, because the foreclosure finally hit, that's why.
Mm.
And so a foreclosure is like getting an F, right? And so it brought my credit score down to a 547. So I did two Jump Like Jordan cards. And so that meant for every month, I was getting two A's. You have to remember that your credit score is like your GPA. So remember school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your GPA is an average of your grades. So your credit score is an average of your grades, but your grades are your financial choices as relates to credit. Every time you pay, you got an A. Every time you don't pay, you get an F. Every time you pay in full, you really get an A plus. Every time you kind of pay, you get a C, B. Mm. So if you're wanting, let's just say, so I got a huge F when I lost my house to foreclosure. So in order to offset an F, how many A's do you have to give to get rid of a huge F? So people will tell me this, I was late on my Sprint bill. Okay. And now I'm on time. Okay. I still got bad credit. Sis, were you late? So that means you had an F for 6 months in a row and you got one A. Do you know what that is? Nothing. Even an F plus.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're going to have to be on time more times than you were late before you can start to see a shift in mm-hmm. that F. And even then, that F might only move to a D. And then you have to get more A's. And then maybe you move to a C. And then eventually that F will fall off, because after 2 years, it doesn't fall off your credit report, but it doesn't get rated as highly as everything else.
Mm.
So because think about, So your credit bureaus really want to know who you are now. Mm-hmm. And so they don't look back really like 3 or 4 or 5 years. They're like, well, 5 years ago, you were younger, you didn't have a job, blah, blah, blah. But now the last 2 years is a true indication of who you are now. Mm-hmm. So really it's the last 2 years that they're looking at as far as your activity to give you that score. Now, it'll still be on your report, but your score is really judged by the last 2 years.
Copy.
Mm-hmm. And aren't they changing something? I was reading that now they're going to include. 10. Right. So mm-hmm. can you explain the changes?
So FICO is like a brand like Pampers. Remember mm-hmm. back in the day, some of y'all mm-hmm. like Pampers? I'm mm-hmm. like, you're too young. Mm-hmm. Right? So remember back in the day, they used to say your mom would be like, go get them Pampers instead of diapers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, right? So FICO is like that. It's a brand that got really popularized by Susie Orman. But still, because FICO got really popular, 90% of lending choices, they use the FICO score.
Got it.
Even though there's Vantage scores, there's all these other scores. But truthfully, you should look at your FICO score because that's what people are judging you by. So that's one, right? And so FICO, the last time they made a change was 2014.
Okay.
You know, so FICO sometimes will re-change up the scoring model to say, people are using credit differently. We need to be looking at the ways they use credit to judge them by. So FICO was heavily judging the way you use your credit cards. And so that was heavily being judged. Like, okay, Fran got a credit card and another credit card. And the way she's using it, that's where we're putting most of our energy and our efforts on. But they noticed that people were getting smarter because people like me were hipping people to game. And people were getting personal loans to pay off the credit cards. And so FICO never used to really look at the way you were navigating with personal loans. So now they're giving a heavier emphasis on personal loans than they were before. And so that's really the major change, is that the way you navigate with the personal loans that you're typically getting to pay off your credit cards, that they weren't looking at that before, but they're going to be looking at that heavily because they're looking at, like, you didn't really get rid of your debt, which is what it was looking like before. You got a loan, paid off your credit cards. FICO was like, congratulations, your credit card debt-free. Here's an A. Meanwhile, you still got the debt over here. And they're like, oh, Slicky, you still got an F because around these parts that you, and then on top of that, you went back and ran up those credit cards again. So they're really going to be looking heavily at that.
So it's going to be harder.
Yes, harder. But here's the thing. So I think it was like 80 million people have credit scores, right? So about 40 million of us who are already doing good, your credit score will actually go up about 20 points. About 40 million folks who are not doing good, their credit score is going to like drop about 20 points. Sheesh. So if you're doing bad, it's going to look a little worse. If you do good, it'll look a little better. But here's the thing about FICO.
Damn.
One, it doesn't roll out. That new FICO 10 doesn't roll out until the summer. Mm-hmm. And then also, you ever be on places and you're like, well, how come this person gave me like a 730 and I have a 750 here and I have a 6 whatever? It's because these different places are using different FICO models. Mm. Most mortgage companies are still on FICO 8. They slow to change. So people are freaked out, but the mortgage companies, a lot of the places where you get cars, they'll likely still be on the old scoring model. So they will eventually get to the 10, but it might not be for 3 years from now.
For now, mm-hmm. you shouldn't stress mm-hmm. about it.
But you should just be mindful about how you navigate with your credit as it relates to your credit cards and as it relates to personal loans. Because it'll eventually get there, but most of the big people who lend you money are not going to be using it for a little while.
Right, so a change going to come.
Exactly.
Okay.
I thought this question was interesting. She says, why pay student loans? I have a 750 credit score. Mm-hmm. I own a home. I have a car that's paid off. I'd rather put my money towards a vacation. What's the worst that could happen?
Let me tell you something. Depending who you owe. If you owe Uncle Sam, they will literally come for you.
Oh, shit.
So if you do not pay, well, anybody can come for you legally, but especially if you owe the federal government, like ask Lauryn Hill. Wesley Snipes just got out, right? Right? So, but no, for real, if you owe federal student loans, they do not play with their money. Mm-hmm. They will default you in so many different ways that you will not be able to get a job.
Ooh,
you
know, girl.
Because your credit score will stop you from borrowing. Like, you wouldn't be able to get a cell phone without a down payment. You ever remember them days back when you first get your first cell phone? They mm-hmm. make you put $200 down because you're young mm-hmm. and you don't have any credit score. Right. And so, but also, too, you can get let go. There are certain jobs that you have to maintain a certain credit score in order to maintain that job.
Yes. What? Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like at banks and things, yep. right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Where they, I did not know that.
A judge
you
of character.
Can't be broken, no bank.
Wow.
Yeah. No, of course, they're looking like you looking at this money okay, and the money looking
think
at you.
Steal or something, okay.
Like, so even my mentee, she's an attorney, and she was like, they told her when she had her internship and she was about to graduate, and they told her, just so you know, heads up, we're going to be looking at that credit score to see if you work at this firm. She was freaked out. Like, wait, what? Mm hmm.
Wow.
And so mm-hmm, there are certain jobs that will look at you differently. A friend of mine was a dispatcher at a at a truck driving place, and she wanted to become a supervisor, and they were like, not with this credit score.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Ever since that girl fell at G5 off that pole, and mm-hmm. bro, they're checking the dancer's credit score.
I knew I looked at you like abort mission.
I always think she's about to,
because Dustin doing a straight face, but I caught it as soon as he said. I was like, I caught you. I said, I'm not going down that road with you.
Oh my God. Well, see, the part that's tricky is because she's saying she has a good credit score.
So
she's not worried,
because here's what will happen. That because no, for real,
she's like, I'm Goodington, okay.
Right? So because event, if you don't pay, then one of the first things they're going to do is they're going to ruin your credit score. Mm. Because they're going to start giving you Fs. Because if you don't pay, they'll say like, okay, so 1 month you don't pay, that's an F. Right? So she's been paying all this time. So let's just say she's got 20 A's. So one F, not going to bring you down much more, that much. But imagine a whole year not paying. Now you've got 12 Fs for every month that you didn't pay.
You.
So, right? And so even unless let's just say she's like, well, whatever. I already got my house. I already got my car. I already got those things. But not only just that, but depending on who it is, and I honestly think that with student loans, any whether it's private or federal, they can then go to your job, and I'm assuming she's working, and then have your wages garnished.
Mm.
And damn. So
mm-hmm. That's a nightmare.
And then, like, I hope you wasn't expecting a refund check. Ha ha! Guess what? They snatched that. Especially with student loans. You owe student loans and you have not paid, they will snatch your refund check. I hope you don't have no kids. They waiting for Easter clothes. Not this year. And so, like, it doesn't behoove you. Like, here's the thing. And I get it. She doesn't have to put all her money towards student loans, but ma'am, at least pay the minimum.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a question. I'm so sorry. How can you exist with a lot of debt? like let's say, you know, you have your debt and you can still survive and still take your vacations or whatever, and you can be like, well, I ain't, you know, fuck this debt, I ain't thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But how do people end up with, like, and maybe it's because they just have, you know, the type of jobs and the risk they take, but how do they end up with, like, six figures plus of debt?
Well, typically it's school.
Mm.
Like, I had, at one point, I was $300,000 in debt, but it was a mortgage, it was school, and credit cards. People can have six figures in credit card debt, because here's why. It's really predatory, right? So let's just say you get a credit card and you run it up, say $20,000, right? And then, but the interest rate, let's just do the math. I got my little trusty, you know, cellular device, right?
And you're paying every month and the balance isn't moving.
Or you're not really, right? So you owe $20,000 just for simple math, and it's your interest rate is, say, 30% because you don't have great credit. Ooh. That's $6,000. Let's just say that's $6,000. Let's just say that's a year. And so you're paying, essentially, maybe you might be paying $4,000 of that six, because that $4,000 really is the minimum, right? So then the next year, that two rolls on over to it. So that two that you didn't pay, now you're owing $22,000 times 6%. So all of a sudden, it's creeping up and creeping up and creeping up, because interest builds on each other. So if I put $10,000 worth of interest on you, and then you don't pay it down, then I'm going to be charging you interest on the original 10 plus that $10,000 worth of interest. And then the interest, so now it's $20,000 plus $10,000 worth of interest. But do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That, like, it sometimes it's not the original money that people typically owe. It's the fees and the debt that's added up to it. So it's very easy for it to start to climb up, and then it spirals out of control, and the people just throw their hands up and say, I'm not going to do anything with it. But now, sometimes it can be very overwhelming. And so really the key first to start with, if you have a lot of debt, and I've been here, like I said, I was $300,000 in debt. It was student loans, it was my mortgage, and it was credit card debt. So first things first, I had to, like, write down, and it wasn't just one credit card. I think I had like three or four. I had to write down everybody that I owed. Right? So I just wrote it down,
like,
on a piece
face
of paper.
It.
Mm-hmm. And it was hard.
Yeah.
You know? I don't get your girlfriend together. We having a debt party, bitch.
Right?
Like, I love that.
Bring your pad and paper. Like, right? Write it all down. And then, who do I owe? Chase, this person. Okay. How much do I owe? Call. You know, sometimes you, like, have her call on your for you, because, you know, sometimes people don't want to hear it. You know, so have her do the calling for you, or she log in for you, be like, girl, you owe $20,000. Okay, write it down.
Whew.
And then write down the interest rate for each of those, right? And then see if there's any back things that you might owe. So not just who you owe currently, what are the things that you're behind on? Like, get all of that down on paper and so start to strategize a plan. So It's always best to really focus on the debt that is on the forefront. So the things that are 2 years old or younger, because remember I said that's the debt
that they're most closely paying attention
exactly.
to.
Exactly. So I would focus. So people would be like, oh, I owe something from 4 years ago. I'm not saying don't pay it, but I understand.
Right.
I mean, you know, right. And so like, because you should eventually get to it, but I want you to focus on the stuff now,
yeah.
you know? And so making phone calls, sometimes you can call. Like, if you've had financial trauma, you can call and say, hey, Chase Bank, is there some sort of, you know, like I lost my job, or I lost my mom or whatever. You guys have, sometimes they have,
provisions available.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly for that. You know, where they're like, okay, well, we can freeze the interest rate for this amount of time, or like your car note. Sometimes they can put it on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So there are
mm-hmm.
things that they can do for you, but you won't know until you ask.
And they just want to know that you're willing to yes. figure out a mm-hmm. payment plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you really need to sit down. Like I told you, my boy Ash Cash. But honestly, if you really need to sit down, also too, there's a nonprofit called the National Credit Counseling. It's NF, like National and N. Foundation FCC.org, NFCC.org. It's a nonprofit. And if you go to NFCC.org, you could type in your zip code and you can find like a local place close to you. But they really help with that. And they can help you negotiate with your creditors to kind of bring them down, to freeze them out, because they're a well-known and respected nonprofit. So don't, the longer you wait, here's the thing. Let's just say you're like, dang, I did this with my taxes. I avoided them my first 2 years because I'm like, I ain't got no money. So what we gonna do? Mm-hmm. Carlos caught me at the local ShopRite, was like, bam, gotcha, bitch. Where you been? I was like, I don't have any money, Carlos. He was like, I already did your taxes. You owe $8,000. I was like, I don't have any money, Carlos. I had $8,000. But it wasn't as bad as I thought. I thought I owed $30,000. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, not so bad. He said, but you know what, Tiffany? You know what you owed 2 years ago when I was calling you? I was like, what? He said, you owe $5,000. I said, well, how'd I get to eight? He said, exactly.
Penalties and shit.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, damn. So avoiding actually makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I mean, we all get those red envelopes every once in a while in the mail. You're like, well, you'll get it when I get it. Meanwhile, as you go get your new fitted. Right? No shade, but shade.
You know, shit happens.
And yeah. people with debt were asking that question. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have debt, if I have school loan debt, mm-hmm. if I have credit card debt, you know, cars, should I even be thinking about buying a house? Do I need to be thinking about assets if I still have debt?
Well, you should always be thinking about assets, but you don't necessarily have to be thinking about buying a house right now. And like I said, you don't have to be debt-free to get a house. If I was going to buy a house and I had like credit card debt, because typically they're not going to lend to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lenders want to lend to people that they're really clear that are going to pay them back. So if they look and they say, you have student loans, okay. Oh, you got credit cards? You got personal loan?
Right.
Because they're looking like, you have to pay me
and
all of that.
Be trustworthy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, one, you're not likely going to get a loan, you know?
Interesting.
Because that's what happened during the recession. They was giving everybody named mom and them a loan. They was giving, like, they were giving, literally people who were making $10 an hour were getting loans.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. And then they didn't pay back. And then
it crashed everything.
Yep, it crashed everything. So they're not doing that to that extent anymore. So one, you're not likely to get a loan. And two, if you are going to look for a house, I would look for a house that I could make money with.
Yes.
Right? So a multifamily house. Look for a house that maybe you can live in one of the units, the basement, the garage, not the garage, the basement or the attic, and then you rent out the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the house not only pays for itself, but puts a little money in your pocket.
Right.
So that's what I would do, because then that makes sense. But you should always be looking at assets. One of the best podcasts, not podcasts, interviews I just saw recently about finance, it was Dame Dash.
Hey.
Wow.
You know,
ironically.
I know, Lord. But Dame,
come on,
said,
Dame.
Right? But Dame came through with a gem. And I was like, and I knew this to be true. You ever hear something and you're like, I'm living that way, but I never articulated it?
Mm-hmm.
Usually at church.
Man, well, I see why you write for
you
the reading.
You see how he's quick
with it. Quick with it. Wait.
You
I'm going
to
give you a dollar for every singer. Zing, zing.
Hey, I knew we were going to work together, girl.
Right? And so Dame, oh, what
am I saying? He be waiting. Dame
like,
Dash.
Boom. So Dame said, he said he wished that black people understood the purpose of work. And he was like, the purpose of work is not just to work to pay bills. The purpose, the reason why you're working is so that you can own. And I was like, okay. And he was like, so owning, meaning like owning things that will then work for you and put you out of work. I was like, okay. Meaning like I'm working every day, preschool teacher, spending, working, making $30,000, $40,000 a year. Setting aside some of that money. Then I buy myself a 2-family house right? So owning. And then I live in one of them. The other person pays it. Yes. Yep. And then so now I have this two-family house that's maybe making me $300 extra a month. Right? So I get back to work. And then I'm able to get the second two-family house. Now this one, because I'm not living there, I'm making $1,500 a month off of that. Mm. And then I take that $1,500, so like the Poshmark mom, take that money from Poshmark and then I put it into to trading stocks, right? So now that trading stocks is working for me. But do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So
That's literally what he's saying. He was like, we flipping every other sense, but we're not flipping where we're supposed to flip. You are supposed to be working and taking, enjoying life, but taking that excess money and putting it to owning things, owning a business, owning stocks and bonds and investments, owning real estate, owning intellectual property. So like a book or whatever, owning something, because it's in the ownership that wealth is truly made. Mm. You know, like my business works for me. Like now, I mean, I've got like 5 books on Amazon and they yield me anywhere on the low end from $2,000 a month up to $20,000 a month.
Amen.
Right? But that's ownership. I own that information inside. So as a result, it now works for me.
Right.
Right? And so
while you're sleeping.
Exactly. And so I have the house that we live in, but my husband and I also bought an investment property. Mm-hmm. So we're renovating that. So once that's done, that's ownership. That thing will work for me. So what are you working toward? I want you to think about that today. Like, what am I really working toward? I'm just making money to make money. So that's what, like, you see, like, some of these basketball players, you see, like, entertainment celebrities. So they seem wealthy until the work stops.
Yeah. Mm.
If they do not own anything, they will quickly go broke.
Yes.
Mm. Like, I'm telling you, Michael Jackson, when he passed away, so from what I understand, I don't know if this is true, but I can see this being true, that he spent a lot of money. And so when he passed away, or before he passed away, he was kind of in the red. Because he was spending so much,
that's
right?
That's so crazy to imagine.
But the moment that he passed away, that his estate went quickly in the black, right? Because finally, like, it could start working for him. He was outspending what his thing was making for, like, what his ownership was making for.
People rebuying the albums, merch.
Exactly. But do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because the things that he owned.
Take care of his kids that he left behind.
Exactly. So what are you leaving behind? You might be like, well, I'm not Michael Jackson, but you can still own a two-family house in Irvington, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Not for real. Like, people think that, everybody thinks we all got to be Oprah. Some of the wealthiest people I know, you would never know. Mm-hmm. Why I turned over Tim's. Well, not Tim's, but, you know. Because, you know, we
got
to draw the line somewhere.
Some damn where. So I have an interesting question that I think a lot of people will be able to relate to. And this is actually one of the ones that was yielded from our NetWeCast to get them questions on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. So someone said, I'm starting a new... Actually, not someone. I'm going to give you your chance. It says at... Well, no, because they might not want people
right, that's
to have a new
like...
job. Okay. So somebody said, I'm starting a new job and my previous job is sending me a check from my 401k. Other than transferring it to my new 401k, are there any better options to invest that money? This is something I think a lot of people will find themselves, a position I think a lot of people will find themselves in. So what are some great options that people have other than transferring their check from their old 401k into a new one? Is there an opportunity there for them to really make some advances in that space?
Well, honestly, well, first of all, it sounds a little sketchy that they shouldn't be sending you a check.
Okay.
Because when you put your money in a 401k, that is money before taxes. So let's just say you make $50,000 a year and you put up $5,000 of it. Then your check essentially should be about $45,000 for the year, like aside from Social Security, FICA, all that kind of stuff, right? So that means they take that $5,000 out, put it in your 401k, and then they only tax you on the $45,000. Mm-hmm. Because they took that money out pre-tax. That's the benefit of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pulling that out, the government's like, oh, you're taking out that money that we never taxed? So they're going to tax you on that money because they never got that money on that money.
Got it.
So that's one. And then two, if you take out your money before, I think it's like 60 years old, right? Before it's retirement, your retirement age, there's also a fee on top of that because they want to deter you from doing so.
And isn't it like a massive percentage?
Yeah, like I know. It was 30%. I lost 30%.
I was just going to say. Yeah, I know someone who did it and they lost
30%. It's a lot. So it makes me nervous that your job should not be sending you a check, that you as an individual are not allowed to do what they call the rollover. So it is supposed to be 401k company to 401k company. They are supposed to talk to each other and roll it over amongst themselves with your direction. Like, yes, I want to do that. But you literally can't take money from one job, withdraw it, and put it here. No.
Because that's a penalty.
Yeah, you are going to get a penalty. And so just making sure that she's just saying, like, check, like, you know, using that
I'm guessing she opted out of that.
Okay.
She or he. I'm guessing they opted.
And it's not too late though.
It says other than transferring it to my new 401k.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that she's doing that. So, and honestly, that is the best thing.
Okay.
That is the best thing because it's either you transfer it to your new 401k or you could transfer it to a retirement, an external retirement account. So, like, you can go to like a Vanguard or Fidelity or Charles Schwab and same thing. Hey, you know, you guys have a retirement account? Sure do. I'm not with my job anymore. I want to roll over. That's really the key. It's called the rollover. I want to roll over that money from my old job to here. Remember, like, 10 bears in the bed and the little one said, roll over. Y'all didn't do that preschool
teacher. Yes, you
did. That used to be my jam. I used to be like, roll over. Okay. The kids used to be like, Miss Tiffany do a lot of rolling. She looked like
it
my
was
mama.
Only 10, Miss Tiffany.
Okay.
Right? And so, so you want to roll over. So it's honestly the best thing to do with that money is to put it into another 401k or to do an external retirement account. But you do not touch it. Let the banks do that themselves with your instructions.
So
to
the
do
money
so.
Should never be put into your hands. It should be rolled
I
over.
I won't say never, never, never. But if she's asking what the best thing to do with that money now, if she was like in financial trauma and was going to like, you know, can't feed the babies or whatever, right. then we got to do what we got
to
do.
Charge that 30% to the game.
You know, because I did, honestly. Because I was like, it's either this or damn near homelessness, right? Yeah. But, like, if that's not, you have a job now, then why would you lose that 30%? Like, that doesn't make sense.
So, just roll over.
Roll over. Roll over.
That's it.
And there were some people that mentioned that their jobs don't actually offer them any retirement options.
So, you can have an external retirement account. So, like I
said. Like the Vanguard you mentioned and Charles Schwab.
Yep. That's why I said that's the target date fund. Those are my favorite. Because you don't have to. Because here's the thing. Most people don't know what to pick. You ain't got to pick. Literally, the target date fund, usually there are in alignment with like a market like the NASDAQ or like the S&P 500. So which means like, so the way the market works is that it's a bunch of the top companies and like stocks go up and down. But over time, historically, the market goes up over time. So if you were to draw, and I think I said this last time, if you were to draw a picture of what the market performance looks like, it would look like a kid's drawing of a lightning bolt. So you would see a kid draw a lightning bolt. It's like up, down, up, down, up, down. Right? And so it looks like a bunch
like
of
the jagged edges.
Right? So imagine that jagged edge, but pointing upward. So in its trajectory upward, the market will be dipping and rising. So what people feel like in the dip is like, oh, the market is down. No. Like, so the market is at a 5, but you forgot 20 years ago it was at a 2. So it's at so 5 is a low for now, but over time the market course corrects itself and is always on a trajectory upward. So if you just roll the market and roll the ups and downs, you're going to be riding the ups and downs on the way up. You see what I mean?
Completely. Mm-hmm.
So like if you do that, that's why I said if you put it in a target date fund, it will ride the market. It literally will do what the market does and the market goes up over time, even if it dips. That's why you give yourself time. That's why my dad, who's 75, the way his target date fund, it should be in safer and safer investments because he can't ride the wave as much because I don't know that he's got 40 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. That much time left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, let's not do all that.
No.
I know this. She's trying to kill my daddy.
Wait a minute.
I love you, daddy. I love
you, daddy.
That came
out
of time.
Damn, sorry, man.
No, now you on the board. Like, damn.
She's got a dark side.
Y'all, I love y'all.
I'm like, how I take it from there?
No,
sorry, girl. Dad.
Sorry to that man. Sorry.
My breath, I can't.
Sorry, y'all.
No, but honestly. No, but this is true. My dad's 75. He has no business being in the market super
volatile. Yeah, like Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Because let's just say, you know, God willing, he lives to 100, you know. Versus like my nephew, God willing, he lives to 100. He's got 96 years then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously.
And so like, you know, so we just like time is just time. And so like I'm telling you, if you don't, I just like, I cannot impress upon you. If you don't do nothing else that we talked about today,
Target, Fun. I'm doing it tomorrow.
I cannot impress that upon you. I don't care if you do $50, $20, $10 a month.
And what about the IRAs, mm-hmm. the Roth, the SEPs? Mm-hmm. Should you have that as well?
So the good thing about Target Date Funds is they can be that as well.
Okay.
And so that's what I mean. So a SEP typically is it's if you're self-employed,
right?
You know,
that's like for our world,
exactly, right? And so like a Roth IRA is if you it's money that well a SEP is also a Roth IRA, mm-hmm. so it's money after taxes typically. So meaning like you work at like you're a teacher Tiffany. You're working, you have your 401k at school, but you want to put additional money away. Mm-hmm. So, but you've already gotten that money. So a Roth IRA, an individual retirement account, is money that you're investing after they've already taken your taxes. Because if it's take-home pay, taxes have been taken out. And the blessing in a Roth is that it's allowed to grow tax-free. So because you pay taxes on the money when you put it in, when you pull it out later,
you don't have to deal with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so it's like with a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, it's like you have to decide kind of like, well, you can do both, but people are always debating which is better.
Up front or on the back.
Yes, yeah. Like, do I want to pay my taxes like later or do I want to pay my taxes now? And it all depends.
It's the same thing though, either way.
Not necessarily.
No?
Because you have to think to yourself, your taxes are based upon your tax rate. Like, how much are you making? So if you think that you're going to be being wealthier later, then you want to pay less taxes later.
Oh, shoot.
You see what I mean? If you think
like,
you're going
to... How do you know?
You know? There's no way to really know. So right. that's why it's good to sometimes have a mix.
I'm going to be wealthier later. Right. I believe that.
So then that means you want more Roth, because Roth, you get to have that money tax deferred. Like, mm-hmm. that, you already paid taxes on
right,
it.
Right, so leave me alone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So thankfully, I haven't heard this rumor lately, but I heard that they were trying to get rid of your ability to do a Roth. They're like, no, we want that tax money. I'm like, on the money that it's grown to.
Right.
Because you can technically put a Roth, let's just say you invested $10,000 and then 10 years later it's $100,000 that you don't have to pay taxes on because you paid taxes on that
$10,000.
So then if I open the Target fund, I can decide whether it's a Roth or a SEP?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can ask. So it depends on who you're working with. Like, typically, I think Vanguard has SEPs. I think, because I feel like I have a SEP at Vanguard. I'm not sure I think it's at Vanguard.
Mm.
And so, but definitely you can ask. So I use Angelique. I don't use a Target Date fund because I have someone.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
But definitely you can ask and say, like, I want to open up a Target Date fund. What do you have? A SEP? Do you have a Roth as a Target Date fund? Usually Target Date funds, it's not like how you can have a Roth or 401k. Those are the types of funds that you can have. But a Target Date fund is just a mechanism that you could put your money in that basically it's a rebalancing tool.
It's like right. the Instagram algorithm.
Yeah. but definitely you can.
Finances.
But you could definitely ask to see if they have that. They should though.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm definitely
But yeah, but
that.
Target Date fund is like, yes, 100,000%.
No, I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got questions about income-based repayment plans mm-hmm. for the loans, saying that they've been, one young lady, actually a couple of people were saying they've been paying the balance mm-hmm. and it has not moved mm-hmm. in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is it worth it to even do it as an income-based repayment plan?
So typically with the income-based repayment plan, they just basically have you paying off the taxes, the interest.
Right.
You know, so if you're not paying a little bit more, then you're not going to see. So basically, think about the interest as like, it's just, not that it's throwing money out the window, but it's throwing money out the window.
That's what it is.
Because literally, it's just a fee to them.
Literally paying for your interest.
It does not move.
Yes. Yeah.
So one thing I think that from reading people's questions, it seemed like people didn't realize that you could pay more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you can.
Like, even if, because I think that's how I did it. Like, I had my set mm-hmm. payment amount every month, but I would always pay a couple hundred yep. or whatever over.
Yep.
And then it's funny because then the next month it'd be lower.
Yes. Because you paid on the principal.
Right. Yep. Which is almost like they wouldn't let me catch up. You know what I mean? It's very tricky yes. how they do that. Like, oh, you pay 200 extra, so now it's 200 less.
Yes.
And then in a way, like, mm-hmm. you think, oh, good.
They're encouraging
it's cheaper.
You just to pay the interest.
Encouraging you just to pay the balance that you owe every month.
Right.
But I even if it was 200 lower the next month, I would still pay what the balance was the previous
good.
Plus the 200
again. And
that's
again. How you get it down.
Yeah,
you
I mean, that's how I paid it off.
You have to get chip away at that principal. The principal right. is the original amount that you owed. If you're just paying the interest, that original amount that you owed will sit there forever generating interest
forever,
for you.
Forever, which mm-hmm. is nuts and yeah. just so terrible.
And so confining.
And I'm not going to lie, it's hard out here.
Like, yeah, shit's like, crazy.
Yeah,
man.
And honestly, it's actually harder than when I came back last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see it. I'm not gonna, because I mean, like, you have to really be on your dean, you know? And so, like, it's just like, if not, it's you. There's no longer, you can no longer be lazy about your finances.
Yeah.
You really can't. Like, you have to be on it, because if you're not on it, then, you know, you're like, it's almost like standing still is actually moving backwards now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's the part that I'm like, that's why I'm so adamant about getting people on board, because I'm like, you really honestly don't have the privilege of not doing something.
Right.
You know, you have to do something, or it's only going to get harder. Like, it's for you, your kids, your grandma, your auntie, you have to do something.
Right.
You know, you have to. So I'm writing this, I've got this like, this new, I don't know if it's a theory, but I've been like, especially since the last time I came here, like I literally lay asleep, awake at night, sometimes thinking like, what can I do? Because like, I know I'm getting free, but like, how,
you know, everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah. And quite honestly, the answer is now, well, you'll run $1 million business. Cause come on now. That can't be the answer. Cause right. It's not the answer.
Yeah.
So I was asking myself, so like, you know, what is the answer? What can I create that's actually going to help people, regular everyday people? Like what can I create for preschool teacher Tiffany? So yeah, I was asking myself, what's really truly the answer? And I came up with this concept that I like to call financial wholeness, right? Like, so that there has to be like a series of things that you can do to be okay, no matter whether you're a nail tech or NFL player, you know, medical professional or mechanic. And so with financial wholeness, there's 10 components. It's like budgeting, credit, debt, savings, retirement, insurance, financial professionals, multiple streams of income, and estate planning, right? So these are the 10 components. And how do you, like, what is the desired outcome from these 10 components? I'm actually working on a book.
Yes.
To like, because I haven't, like, I don't believe in putting out stuff just to put out stuff. That I'm only put out something, like, if I was going to be helpful. So I just signed my first traditional book publishing deal.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so it's crazy. And I'm like, so I'm excited to put it out, because I'm like, I really wanted some, and I'm actually going to create a course to go along with it, you know, because I really wanted to give people this handholding of like, you start with the budget and I handhold you to the next step and the next step. And we end with estate planning,
yeah.
You know, because then you have all the things you need to be like, I am okay financially. You might not be the richest or whatever, but it's not about that. Like, can you take care of yourself?
Hell, right. Estate planning, you might not even be here.
So. For real. But like, for example, people don't realize that something like basic, let's just say you're like 20. Like, well, what does an estate plan look like for me at 20? An estate plan looks like, is your mama your beneficiary on your bank account?
That's
Will they be able to bury your ass?
For real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so things like that are not like super heavy lifts. Like, literally today, go on your bank account and add whoever you need to add to your bank account as a beneficiary. Because if something were to happen to you today, then, you know, your sister can't get access.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
You might have $2,000 in your savings, and they put her through this whole rigmarole because she's not a beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
But be mindful of this: then, who you put on as your beneficiary trumps who you put in your will.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, like, you know, because like right now, before I got married, I put my sisters on as my beneficiaries. But I'm married now, so as I was going through with my financial planner, she was like, "You're married now. Do you want to switch out your sisters for your husband?" And I was like, "Well, what does it matter? He in the will, it says dot dot dot." She was like, "No, that what this says at the bank as a beneficiary, that will trump whatever you put in that will."
Wow.
So just being mindful of updating that, because you would hate to put as beneficiary one kid, but now you got four.
Oh, shit.
You know, and the one kid's like, "Eh, mommy loves
me." The one don't nobody like. Yeah.
It's always that one.
That one.
But like, do you see, like, so these are things that we don't realize. So I was like,
yeah.
Why don't we have kind of like this one place, you know, simply written that walks you through like all these questions that you guys have? I would want to put that through. You wouldn't have to guess. You
right.
would know. Oh, a target date fund. How do I choose one? Oh, if I am going to get a financial advisor, what questions should I ask? All of that.
And
would
where
be
are
in
they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And where would, you know, because I just feel like the answers are out there, but they're like hidden behind these like closed doors.
Yeah.
Why is it so damn hard? I'm just sick of it, honestly.
Information that literally is necessary.
Necessary.
It's so helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now we get Encyclopedia Budget Nista.
I'm with it. Real, honestly, I'm super excited about it, because I just feel like, you know, it'll be out 2021 and April, because April's financial literacy month.
Yes.
How about that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the month I was born. That makes sense.
Okay.
So then what's the plan for this April?
So this April, actually, I'm dropping my children's book.
Hey.
You know, I got you guys. Like, I brought, like, we can look at it after, but I got you guys. This is like the proof.
Wow. Yeah.
We get to have it?
No, I can't, girl.
Oh, man, I got so excited.
No, the proof people wouldn't let me keep it because you got to mark it up and send it back. Right. You know,
we got an exclusive, y'all.
Okay.
Because I wanted to, because I used to be a preschool teacher, and when I was teaching preschool, I used to actually teach the little babies about financial education. Because honestly, I taught in the hood, and you know, kids be like, Miss Tiffany, you can buy me some hot Cheetos. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, no. Well, go in your purse. I'm like, first of all, where's my purse?
Right. And your ass better not know.
Right? Or the parents honestly used to ask me, like, oh, you know, Miss Tiffany, can I hold something till payday? Because when you work in the hood, man, it's truly like family. You know how it is. You know, like, you know everyone. And I'm like, you know, well, what can I do? And so I started teaching the kids age-appropriate financial education in my classroom.
Oh, man.
You know, like, little things. Like, literally, we would do a penny drive. Because I wanted them to learn about donating and giving. Mm. It's because they always felt like they didn't have anything. And I'm like, that's not true. You know, like, nobody throws away pennies like the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, yep. We got it like that, right?
Right. I don't want that shit in my pocket, man. Just throw that shit up on the counter.
Yeah. Right? And right, so I would have them bring in pennies, and then we would count them, and then we would talk about, like, who we're going to give these to. And every month, we would, like, add up how much it is. We've got $5. We've got $10.
Wow.
So that's an age-appropriate financial education lesson.
Wow.
Right? Or like every preschool classroom has jobs. Like, so it's like, oh, Jeremiah, he sets the table. This one cleans up the blocks. So then I started paying them with Monopoly money for their jobs. $2 if you did a good job, $1 if you did an okay job, and no dollars if you didn't do no job. Right? And then I had them get shoeboxes, and I said, this is your bank account.
Because
I
wanted them to
learn. Mm-hmm. But you see how that's age appropriate?
Of course.
Because like, kids can learn, pre-financial education lessons are math, counting, even rhythm, because if you can clap, then you can count. And if you can count, then you can add. If you can add, that's the beginning of learning how to manage your money. Ooh. So you see, it builds upon each other. So as young as 3, you should be teaching financial education in a way that's age appropriate. And I realized that most teachers and parents didn't have the tools. And so one of the first things I did is I worked with a friend of mine, Angela, Assemblywoman, excuse me, put some respect on her name, Angela V. McKnight, and we wrote the Budgetnista law.
Mm.
And January 2019, we got a law passed in the state of New Jersey making it mandatory to teach financial education to all middle school students in the state of New Jersey.
Man, wow. Could you imagine?
So, you know, at first it didn't hit me, so we already have
that's
a, like,
major.
Like, thank you.
Major. That's changing
our lives.
And honestly,
that.
It didn't hit me until, like, so, like, there's a law in place in New Jersey for high school already. It didn't hit me until, like, one of my neighbors, she's got a little girl in middle school, and I was over the house, and she's like, Miss Tiffany, you can help me with this homework. And I was looking at it like, you guys are doing homework about money. Oh my God.
The law.
I said, the motherfucking Budgetnista.
That's crazy.
I was like, you tell your teacher the Budgetnista helped you with your homework.
Okay.
She was like, okay, you can just help me with this homework because kids don't be caring. Right? And so, first I worked on that. But then, honestly, the feedback that I got from a lot of teachers was like, yeah, you wrote a law that I don't know how to teach. Like, you, girl, my money's a mess. You're like, I don't know how to teach. And
well,
I thought,
then all y'all can learn.
So, like, I decided, like, I was like, so I said, what if I can create some tools? So I started with this book, children's book for 3 to 7-year-olds called Happy Birthday, Molly Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yay. And our Black business of last week.
Yes. And she is so adorable. She is definitively Black.
She's
yes.
So
chocolate.
So cute.
Chocolate. And she got 4C hair.
So cute.
I wanted to make sure. Little, this is how I look when I was little. Well, not as cute as this, but you know. You know, I grew into my looks.
Okay.
And so, but I really wanted little brown girls like me to be able to see themselves on a book cover.
Yeah.
And in it, it teaches math, counting, rhyming. So the story is that it's Molly's birthday. In the beginning, she's excited that she's having family and friends come over, and they start bringing her gifts. And then she starts to prioritize the gifts over her family and friends. Then it's time for her to blow out her candles, and everyone's outside enjoying themselves, and she's surrounded by stuff. And she has to decide which is truly more. More family, more friends, or more presents. She has to make a choice.
Ooh.
You know? But it's a great way to read to your child who's a little bit, you know, greedy.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, to share, like, well, and then at the end, I actually have a series of financial questions that are, like, extend the lesson questions and activities to add.
Wow.
Because I know, like, as a teacher, like, when I would read a book, I would try to extend the lesson. But I'm like, you might not know how to do that as a teacher. You might not know how to do that as a parent or just a person reading a book to a child. So I put those lessons in there, and then I have additional lesson plans on her website. And so,
awesome.
Like, Honestly, I'm really, like, this is, I feel like, you ever think to yourself, like, the thing you've been working towards your whole life, but you don't realize it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I thought the budgetista was the thing, but I realized it was a robot. Because, like, if I hadn't done the financial thing, and then if I hadn't been a preschool teacher, and then if I hadn't gotten my master's in education, if I hadn't, like, wrote
this
law.
It's a big old puzzle.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel like all these roads were leading me to creating, you know, this series of books. So this is the first book, and...
Oh,
and I found out that her name from a woman on Instagram, she said Mali, M-A-L-I, actually means wealth in Swahili.
Get out of here. Wow.
I did not know
the alignment.
I mean, so and then instantly, this is how you, when you are on your right path, it's not going to be easy, but doors will fling open. I
Absolutely.
Cannot express that enough, that where there was a wall will magically be a door when you are in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So when I'm struggling against something in a way that seems unnatural, I know that that's not the door. I don't care if there's a door there, that knob's not going to open for you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's real.
You know, so when she told me that, because I was thinking to myself, what's the next book going to be? I couldn't think of anything. And when she told me that Mali meant wealth, instantly I had written the next book in my head. And I'm like, the next book is going to be called What Does Mali Mean?
Mm, wow.
And it's going to be right that, and then inside Mali will find out that her name means wealth. And then I am going to use illustration to show children that wealth means hugs, wealth means love.
Mm.
So you imagine, like, you know, so you see Mali,
wow.
Right? Wealth means money, yes, but wealth also means giving and donating and sharing. So every picture would show a different version of quote unquote wealth.
Okay, that's enough of a preview. We ain't going to share so much.
Right?
We ain't Mali.
Right?
Okay,
but,
we ain't going to share with
you. Know, but I just feel like, when you, like...
When you're in flow.
You just are
you
in flow.
Stop it.
And so, like, I just want to thank you guys, because when you... So I have a Kickstarter for Mali right now. You can
Yay.
Order the book. And because for me, I believe that giving activates abundance, and that you, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes. Amen.
So for every book that you order for Happy Birthday, Mali Moore, I give a book to a child in a low-income community, like
yes.
the kids that I was teaching.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, man.
And then we also use some of that money because I want to hire other Black financial educators to write additional lesson plans so teachers and parents can come to the website and pull those lesson plans for free.
And extend that lesson.
Wow.
Exactly.
Man.
So, like, but the Kickstarter, we're about 70% funded.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, but honestly, if you guys are wanting to grab a copy, if you go to Mali, more, MORE.com,
mm-hmm.
you can grab yourself a copy of a book. If you're feeling real funky, you can grab, like, you can get, like, one copy, 2, 3, 5, 10, even 30 copies for a classroom. And for every, literally, so if you buy 30 copies, I'm able to give away 30 copies.
Incredible.
That's so amazing.
Yeah,
come
Mali
on,
Moore.
You guys,
com.
Buy them up.
Yes, honestly, I would love, honestly, yes. my goal is, I pre-order myself, because you have to, like, print out in, like, a month or 2 months in advance. So I printed out 10,000,
mm-hmm.
right? So, because I told myself, like, I haven't, like, so I printed out 8, like, of the hardcover, and the soft cover is what I'm giving away, because they're less expensive to print, so I can
yes.
give out more.
More, mm-hmm. exactly.
Got you.
And so, like, yeah, no, I just,
you
like,
guys, let's get it to 100%.
Yeah.
We can do that. Come
yeah,
on.
Absolutely
yeah. Honestly,
that.
It's just, like, such a joy to, like, to give for a living.
I know.
You know? And I want to be an example that, like, yo, you can do right by people and make good money. I'm not broke.
Ain't nothing
right.
wrong with it.
You know what I mean? Like, look what y'all do. Like, you can pour into your community. You can be of service. You can be kind. Like, you can...
I remember when we had an episode years ago. I don't even remember which episode, where we were discussing whether you can be a millionaire
yes,
or a billionaire.
And I messaged you.
Yeah, like, and do right
yeah,
by
I
people without
that.
Being based
yes.
on exploitation. And Tiffany hit me like, hey, ding, ding, ding. She was like,
yes.
reminder.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm not a billionaire. So, like, and honestly, I want to do that, right?
Yeah.
So I want to see, like, yo, how, I really feel like Mali Moore is my $1 billion business.
Hey.
Right? But like, how do you do so? To your point, friend, because it is difficult
yeah.
to make
without
money.
Someone losing
someone.
For you to be winning. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, well, and I don't know that I could do that 100% because let's just say the paper to print Mali, there's some, like, it, like, what tree did that come from?
Right.
How do you, so to your point, it's almost impossible, but how do you lower your negative footprint in
right.
this world?
You mm-hmm. know? Make the choices where you can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's literally what it comes down to. And, like, yeah, I just want to be an example. Like, you don't have to give up your integrity because everybody's out here trying to get their bag, you know? And I'm like, you know how
and
the
at the cost of what a lot of times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the quickest way to get your bag is to help someone else get theirs.
Amen.
Quite honestly.
For real.
For like, you don't know who it is that you're helping, who's going to come back back for you.
Yeah.
You know, ooh, like, listen, so many people tap me on the shoulder. And when I tell you, some of my biggest opportunities have come from someone that says, I took your online free challenge. I have these free challenges at literaturechallenge.com. There are 5 of them, and they're like a month-long course, each of them, and they're totally free, and we roll out a new one every year. And I remember I was working with this car company, 6-figure contract. The woman was like, yo, I took one of your challenges. I've been advocating for you for 2 years. I didn't even know her. She called me, was like, hey, ring, ring, ring. This is so said car company. I'm not saying their name because they got a bag for me. Hey. I just got an email from them. I'm like, yeah. Right? So, like, ring, 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 said car company. Hey, let's just, she had a real, like, hood girl name. We're just going to say Shaniqua.
Got it.
I was like, she's like, I'm from car company. I'm like, girl, I got a car. And she's like, no, 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 I'm from corporate. I was like, music.
What's up?
I put on my butt. She's like, hey, girl. Okay. How are you? She's like, girl, I'm a dream catcher. That's what I call my audience.
Oh, right? That's
I was like, what?
Man.
She was like, girl, I've been telling them about you for 2 years. You got my life together. They finally listening. Like, you could come in on, I couldn't believe it. And I've worked with them for like the last 3 years and have made like
a
money.
Yeah. You know? Wow. You just never know. Yeah, you never know who's listening, who's watching,
yeah,
who's being impacted.
Yeah, people will put you on.
It's true.
Like, there are a huge, huge, huge network reached out to me about Molly Moore because she listened to my podcast. Right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I heard what you said about Molly Moore. I want to get her a television show.
Wow.
And I was like, what? You just never
can't even.
And also speaking your dreams. People are scared to tell people what they want. But like, Dustin, I remember the episode where you said, you know what? Yeah, you said, I'm going to be a writer, mm-hmm, and I want to be more intentional. So y'all going to get these stories. Now
damn
look
it
at you.
That's right.
No, but for real. Like, yeah. You think I'll be listening.
What do you see my plans for?
I'm a listener.
What do you see my plans for sex work? It's taking off. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. This
and
we're going
to budget that, too. Okay?
But you know, like, speaking the thing that you want.
Of course.
Doing the work. Yeah. And you have to do the work required.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the thing. There's hard work. There's a little bit of work, and then there's the work required. The work required doesn't care about hard or little or long. It doesn't care
just
about any of that.
Just what needs to be done.
Exactly. And people ask, well, how do I know if I've done the work required? I'm like, do you have the thing? If you don't have the thing you're working toward, you have not done the work required.
Yeah.
You know, do you have to stay up a little longer? Maybe not. It might not be stay up a little longer. Maybe you need to get out of the house and actually network with people.
Maybe you need to get out that relationship that's holding you back.
Well, I'm telling you, like, who you are, I think someone just, I think, I don't know if it was the New York Times just dropped an article today with...
About the friend zone?
No, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
you're going to give me a heart attack.
You would have known.
I'm just fine.
Like, oh, he got me this time. Damn.
Now you see, you see.
Punch you good.
He got me punching the air.
Happens.
Sorry
happens
to that man.
Happens to all of us.
But about president and our president, First Lady and Barack Obama.
Yes.
Right. And they said something like, you know, because President Obama was saying that how Michelle really pushed him to greatness. And they said, honestly, the number one most important decision you can make in your life really is like who you partner with, you know? As far as like your relationship, mm-hmm, that it will literally make or break you.
I believe it.
You know, like honestly, like my husband, I met him when I was still teaching preschool and mm-hmm, he was the maintenance man. Mm-hmm. Sweeping that broom. I was like, okay,
oh, that's
man.
So mm-hmm dope. Mm-hmm.
And
get
then like,
here.
We like, I think like we were like in our 20s and I thought he was cute, but I had a boyfriend, he had a girlfriend, but then we moved on about our business. And then like years later I met him and we were both unattached. Facebook hooked it up. Facebook was like, you
Facebook
might know
be
such
doing
and such.
Damage.
Like, oh,
and I was like,
Mike.
Right, but I was like, no, but he got a girl. Let me see. Oh, he ain't got a girl anymore. Well, hello.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, I was just watching you. I think I was on The Real or something like that. I was just watching you on The Real. How you doing? I was like, good. And now we're married. But when I wasn't with him, I was working really hard. And I was doing decent. But then I didn't realize what it was, how important it was to have like what I call the sureness of love.
Mm.
Like it's like the best safety net that you can have. Like it's like a mom's love where you just know 100% this person loves me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And so I didn't realize as I was building my life and building my goals that, but when he came in and I got this sureness of love from my partner, I mean, that's when I really took off.
Yes. Aww.
That's when I flew. And it wasn't because he provided financial security, any of that kind of stuff.
It's honestly, a different kind of abundance.
Yes, exactly. Because quite honestly, I make more than him. It wasn't that at all. But it was like, I just knew that like, I've got somebody who has my back 100,000% that I can reach the moon even if I fall. He got me either
got
way
you.
Yeah,
and that's invaluable,
you know, because honestly there are so many people who are depending on you to be financially lit, quite honestly, you know, because not everyone is going to be able to generate wealth. That's just not how the world works, right? So it is for those of us who have the ability to generate wealth, then to go and make sure that we help out others. I know that when Molly Moore's a billion-dollar business, I'm literally going to adopt preschool classrooms and tell those parents in the hood, I got your kid for college.
Ooh.
Do you know how differently you will raise kids if you know
that's already secure?
Take that off your plate.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you like come inside. You know you got a college scholarship waiting for you, and not just saying that, but then having social workers follow them throughout their academic career.
See the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
To make sure, like, okay, like, oh my God, our cable just got, or our rent's not paid. Reaching out to the social worker so she can find additional housing for you. So really following children and their families from when they're little all the way up until they're 17, 18 years old. That's like one of my goals. It's one of the reasons why I go so hard, because that's how you truly change a community.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have like say 50 preschoolers that you embed that, and then you embed that they have to come back and do something for people here. 50 young people coming back to Newark, New Jersey, where I live, and pouring back into the city.
It's a beautiful cycle.
The ecosystem.
Yes, exactly. Like, look at Shaq. Because Shaq, Queen Latifah, they're all from Newark, and they've all done their part to make Newark just that much better.
Yep.
Imagine 50 Shaqs.
Yeah.
50 Queen Latifahs.
Yeah, it's a tall room.
Is Queen Latifah tall?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her. Like
Dana seems pretty tall.
She does seem kind of tall.
A little, yeah.
We all like, look.
I love Queen Latifah.
I'm like, you ain't gonna get me to say nothing
about
Queen Latifah.
Nobody been saying about no Queen Latifah.
Yeah. But you know that, I'm just joking. but I do. Honestly, she's one of my idols because I feel like she showed up as completely herself and she's winning as herself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The talent,
ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything else that you feel like our audience absolutely needs to know? We obviously have like 15,000 more questions, but we're not going to have time.
That's okay.
Well, you have to come back.
Yes.
Yep. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to think if there's number one thing aside from Target Day Fund. You already know budgeting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were asking if they should just go bankrupt. A lot of people were asking
I say that this bankrupt is like, it's remember we talked about your grades.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're asking me is, should I get all F's senior year? Now, can you rebound from life with all F's in senior year? You can. You know, but it's going to be hard. It's 10 years of that. Very few people are going to want to mess with you. How many colleges are going to want to, like, I'm using the metaphor.
Right.
So it's a 10-year recovery?
Well, it's 10 years that the bankruptcy can stay on your credit report.
Damn.
You know? And so, like, think about, like, what that's going to do to your grades for the next 2 years at minimum. And even with bankruptcy, like with foreclosure, for example, I couldn't even get a house for 4 years. Like, I wasn't, even though I had the money, if I wanted to get a mortgage, I was not allowed.
Oh, yeah. Someone asked that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get a house after you've dealt with a foreclosure?
Yeah, you have to wait for, or you can have, like, for example, if you're married or you have a partner, right, they can get the mortgage and they can add you to the deed later.
Okay.
But you will not be able to get a mortgage for at least 4 years. So I say if only way bankruptcy makes sense, you have to be like your back is against the wall. Like, I knew a woman that had cancer and she had $1 million in health debt.
Mm-hmm,
like, you know, so like for her,
it made sense.
Yes. But it, like people going doing bankruptcy for $20,000, $30,000, you're literally destroying your financial life for $20,000, $30,000, even $50,000 to $100,000.
You could be snowballing that shit.
Yeah. So I would say for a very rare, small, select group, it might make sense because even with bankruptcy, it's not like before where they just wiping you clean. Like they want to see that you have no money. You're not going to declare bankruptcy and have $5,000 in savings. They're going to want that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
You know, so they want to see that you're truly bankrupt.
Destitute.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting from zero.
Zero, basically. They're leaving you with just a little something because they're basically with bankruptcy saying, give me all of your assets. We're going to pass them around to everybody you owe as best we can. So like that ring that your husband gave you, I'm going to need that. For real.
Mm.
Like they're going to leave you with just enough because they're like, if you bankrupt, you bankrupt.
Right.
You know? So like now, if you are destitute and you really truly have nothing, and you're like, and I owe $30,000, and like there is no coat or ring or whatever, there's nothing, then maybe it makes sense. But if you have some assets, they're going to want those.
Whew.
Yeah, so. But I would say, probably if I could leave like with one major gem.
Yes.
Give us a buzzword.
I make these buzzwords, I'm like, one major gem, if you had to do anything, is I want you to just start today. I think that I think that everyone, so I think, let's have some, you guys used to do homework. Remember, you used to have the homework. Yes. You guys still do homework? I feel like I've heard
every once in a while,
yeah,
right?
You know, it comes back.
It comes and goes.
Light semester.
Right? So I would love for Friend Zone listeners, right, that you have homework, that within 24 hours, I want you to have taken one positive action toward your finances.
Ooh.
Right? And then I want you to tweet the Friend Zone, right? What's your guys' Twitter?
It's at Friend Zone Pod.
Friend Zone Pod. You can also tweet at the Budgetista.
Yeah,
you want to
tweet us both.
Right? Right? But like, so whether it's, I'm going to go to Magnify Money and open up an Ally account. Or just go to ally.com. Or I'm going to go to Magnify Money and find the bank. I'm going to call Vanguard and ask about a target date fund.
I'm doing that.
Even if it's just a call. So that's what I mean. Something. I'm going to sign up for the Literature Academy. Join LRA for 40% off, right?
Okay.
Right? I am going to...
I'm going to go to McDonald's instead of Papa Do's.
Right. Or tomorrow, I'm not going to buy lunch tomorrow. That $5, I'm actually going to transfer it to my savings account.
Yep.
Mm. I want you to do one, because it's my father would say that many drops of water does a mighty river make. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we think we have to like create this river from nowhere. No, it's literally all these little drops of water that add up to the life that you want. So you keep thinking that like some big overture has to happen with your finances. No, it's the opening up of a Vanguard account. It's the opening up of the credit card and being wise with it, making your jump like Jordan card, right? Mm. It's the joining of the free Live Richer challenge. It's these small things that you can do that add to the next thing. Like one foot truly in front of the other is how you get from one place to the next. Many of us have not gotten anywhere because we haven't gotten up yet.
And if you follow the Budgetista's steps to financial freedom, you got on some really nice shoes that you can actually afford while you take those steps.
When I tell you, the first time I realized that I wasn't struggling is when I went to Whole Foods one time and like I was buying food and I wasn't looking at the price.
Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. I was like buying stuff and I was like,
especially in the grocery store.
What? Especially
that's just Whole in Foods. Us.
Yes. No, I used to be so bad, Dustin, I would be at the corner because you ain't gonna play me at the counter
at all.
Okay, how much? Break it down.
But I was there with my calculator adding things up so I could be clear. Thank before you tell me
thank
how much. I know how much.
You
I
got to do at the bodega. They be making up prices sometimes. Like, what's that extra 50 cents?
And also, that's $6.99 online. I need y'all to price match.
Right? So like the first time, like I was buying food and like I was like, I got to the front and they told me the price. I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, look at you, bitch.
Yep.
you here buying groceries without asking.
You ain't even blanking that.
Yeah, and it just felt nice. Like for once, I wasn't financially afraid.
Yes.
You know, and I know that my future is bright, but we all have that capability. Wow.
Thank you so much, Tiffany.
No, you're welcome.
You're amazing.
I just love being here. Go ahead, mollymore.com.
Yes.
So
here's the thing. If you might be watching this, listen to this 10 years from now, mollymore.com will still take you directly to the site and you can get the book for your baby either way.
Oh, my God. M-A-L-I-M-O-R-E.com.
Look at Fred. You can tell Fred is an influencer. She's like, what we're not going to do is.
You're going to make sure you're not writing Molly, M-O-L-L-Y.
Okay.
And honestly, next time I come back, we'll map out the financial wholeness plan and we'll walk people through
the 10 steps.
Yeah, so next year when it comes out, I'll come back and we'll do that.
Oh,
please,
my goodness. Yeah. So
you
please,
know we love you here.
I'm like speechless. Can you please tell everyone where to find everything, your books, mm-hmm. your school, your Instagrams, your socials, just the whole nine?
I'm the Budgetista everywhere. Right? So the Budgetista on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm even on TikTok, but my 13-year-old stepdaughter won't show me how to do it. I'm like, come on, girl. She's like,
Budgetista, renegade.
But like on Facebook, I even have like a Facebook group called Dreamcatchers Live Richer with the Budgetista. And it's 400,000 folks, 24 hours a day working on their finances together. But yeah, thebudgetnista.com has all of that.
I love
where you
this.
Can like just get your life together. And my promise to you is that you don't have to spend money with me to get help.
Yeah.
Like, that is not why I started this. That I have so many free resources. You like, I literally have people who've been following me for 10 years, have never spent one dime, and are in a 10 times better position, because that is my aim, is to truly serve.
Yes, right.
You know? And then it's my job, not for you to figure out for me to make money. It's my job to figure out how do I monetize some of those things. But yeah, like, I'm truly here to serve, and I want you to do better and to be better. And when you see me in the streets, I want to hear about your credit score. I love hearing that shit.
Yeah.
Like, we be in Whole Foods squeezing oranges,
gang.
Like,
Okay.
But no, thank y'all, honestly.
So that's the hub. Everything.
TheBudgetNista.com. Mm-hmm.
TheBudgetNista.com.
TheBudgetNista.com. So fashionista, but budgetnista.
Budgetnista. Mm-hmm.
The one and only.
The yes. one and only. Oh, Tiffany.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
We love having you here.
We're so thankful for you. You guys have anything to say before we get out of here?
No, just thank you. And she got the money. That's all I got to
say. When y'all make that into a cartoon, I would like me a little voice speaking part or something.
I'm telling you.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but let me be the funny. Yeah, y'all are in TV more than me. Honestly, for real, I had to lean into my what is it again?
Ecosystem.
I got to lean into my ecosystem for real. When Molly Moore becomes a cartoon, I'm like, how you get on TV?
Oh, my God.
I got the voice.
I just want to voice the bunny. That's right? Yeah. As always, we love you
thank you so much,
Tiffany. Thank you so much for blessing us with your time and knowledge. Thank you to those of you listening. We love you so much, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
And your finances.